The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday. It is June 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, on Friday, June 12th, 1 week after Philadelphia moved into the yellow phase of reopening, the city will begin allowing outdoor dining at some restaurants. City officials released additional guidelines Thursday to ensure that all restaurants will be able to offer an outdoor dining experience. Restaurants that have patio areas on their properties or already have sidewalk cafe licenses are authorized to offer outdoor seating beginning Friday. They must follow COVID-19 safety precautions, obviously, and have current valid restaurant licenses. Philadelphia's current ordinance restricts sidewalk cafes to Center City and other specific areas, but in order to support restaurants in every neighborhood, officials will allow all licensed restaurants that comply with basic requirements to offer outdoor seating through the end of 2020. For the first time, restaurants will also have the opportunity to expand their seating area in on-street parking spaces in front of adjacent businesses or onto vacant lots. The business must have written permission from the property owner, officials say. Outdoor dining will be expanded to give restaurants four potential options based on their location. So here's what they are. The sidewalk cafe allows for daily use of sidewalk areas in front of the businesses or restaurant seating. Streetery allows for curbside parking at street level to be converted into outdoor dining or takeaway area for food and beverage. Temporary use of parking lots for dining allows restaurants to convert spaces in their parking lots into restaurant seating and to place seating onto vacant lots in most commercial and mixed-use zoning districts. And then temporary street closure, which will be a pilot program beginning this summer that allows for temporary closures of certain streets for shared restaurant seating. Philadelphia officials say business owners may use the same application to register for a sidewalk cafe or streetery. Separate applications will be required to participate in the pilot program for temporary street closures and to obtain temporary zoning approval for restaurant seating in their parking lots and on vacant lots. All applications will be available online today, and the review will begin on Monday, June 15th. Sidewalk cafes and most other applications will be reviewed, they say, within 3 business days. So hopefully it won't be something that, you know, these owners are waiting a long time for.
Yeah, Kathy, that whole idea of the closing down the street and allowing the restaurants to put tables out and do all that sort of stuff, that's a great idea. They do it on Germantown Avenue, all the time, every couple of weeks. And I know in media it's a common thing. And I think in Phoenixville, right?
Yeah, and I saw it in Wayne this week as well. So they're moving in that direction county by county, and, you know, they have to do it carefully and cautiously and you know, with the proper protocols, of course. But they're getting there.
Yeah, so now they're allowed to do it in Philadelphia. Now, regardless of which outdoor dining option businesses adopt, everyone must follow social distancing and public safety measures. And I did hear this morning on ABC that they were saying that you'll have to wear your masks when you walk up to the restaurants. And then until you're seated, you'll have to keep it on. And then once you're seated at your table and they're only doing tables of four or less, then you'll be able to take your mask off.
Go ahead, Steve.
Just a quick question, Kathy. Are we all in this together?
We're all in this together.
Okay, right,
so
right.
You know what? We can do this.
All right.
So I was in outside of a restaurant in Wayne 2 nights ago, and the people had to wear the masks as they walked in. The outdoor seating was on the other side of the restaurant, so they had to put the masks on, wear the masks through the restaurant, and then they got to the outdoor seating portion of it, and then they were able to take the masks off.
Are you finding that your gut instincts with the mask are pretty accurate?
I think when
I go outside in the parking lot, I take my mask off, and then but any time where I think it's going to be an exposure issue for other people or make people comfortable, I pop it on.
And all the staff. The staff were wearing their masks as well.
Have you forgotten your mask yet? Because I forgot the other day, and I walked into a store. It was just a quick grab, and like I got the death stare, and I'm like, what are they all looking at? And then I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm so sorry. I forgot my mask.
I'm so sorry. Outworlder.
Let's see if you have that situation and you've found yourself. Would you feel weird like pulling your shirt up?
Oh, Preston, like that? No, I wouldn't at all, except I had a V-neck shirt on, so it was not working for me.
Well,
and I was like,
That would have turned into a midriff exposure shirt.
Yeah. Take the bottom of the shirt, pull it up, expose the lower portion of your bra.
I grabbed my food and ran out. I was like, I'm so sorry, I won't forget next time.
Mm-hmm.
States are rolling back lockdowns, but the coronavirus isn't finished in the United States. So despite all of these, you know, people, you know, lifting up on the restrictions and, you know, we're talking about the restaurants that are opening, allowing outdoor dining, cases are rising in nearly half the states, according to an Associated Press analysis, a worried trend that could worsen as people return to work and venture out during the summer. In Arizona, hospitals have been told to prepare for the worst. Texas has more hospitalized COVID-19 patients than any time before. And the governor of North Carolina just said that recent jumps caused him to rethink plans to reopen schools and businesses. There is no single reason to explain all the surges. In some cases, more testing has revealed more cases. In others, local outbreaks are big enough to push statewide tallies higher. But experts think at least some are due to lifting stay-at-home orders, schools and business closures, and other restrictions put in place during the spring to stem the virus's spread. The virus is also gradually fanning out. The virus first landed in the United States coast, carried by international travelers affected abroad for months. The epicenter was in the northeastern states. More recently, the biggest increase has been in the south and the west.
Yeah, it's, you know, it feels very liberating that things are kind of loosening up, but I'm hoping everybody's still going to be cautious, because what would really, we all know this, what would really suck is in 3 months from now, we got to go right back and do it again.
That's why.
It's worth the effort to be cautious now, because we would just hate to see it revert back to it.
And do you know who it's worth? Obviously, we know it's worth us, worth it to us as a species, but also as we're trying to get businesses back up and running. Mm-hmm. Everyone taking the precaution, follow their rules, and then we can keep on this trajectory to be great. Yep. I fully agree, Preston.
Yep.
Surgeons in Chicago have given a new set of lungs to a young woman with severe lung damage from the coronavirus. Northwestern Medicine on Thursday announced the procedure, which took place last Friday. Only a few other COVID-19 survivors in China and Europe have received lung transplants. The Chicago patient is in her 20s and was on a ventilator and heart-lung machine for 6 weeks. Her lungs were severely and irreversibly damaged. The rest of her body was being supported by a ventilator and an ECMO. Doctors waited 6 weeks for her body to clear the virus before considering a transplant. As soon as she tested negative, she was put on the transplant list. There were signs that her heart, kidney, and liver were beginning to fail, so she was quickly moved up in line, and a match came in within 48 hours. She was otherwise pretty healthy, but her condition rapidly deteriorated after she was hospitalized in late April. The 10-hour procedure was challenging because the virus had left her lungs full of holes and almost fused her chest wall, said Dr. Ann Kit Barrett, who performed the operation. She remains on a ventilator while her body heals, but is well enough to visit with family via phone, video phone, and doctors say that her chances of a normal life are good. The patient was not identified, but Dr. Barrett said that she had recently moved to Chicago from North Carolina to be with her boyfriend. Yesterday, she smiled at me and said one sentence. She said, "Doc, thank you for not giving up on me," he noted. Lungs accounted for just 7% of nearly 40,000 U.S. organ transplants last year. They are typically hard to find, and patients often wait weeks on the transplant
list. I assume it's also a much more, you're replacing much larger organs. You would think a heart transplant would be the most precarious. Yeah. But they seem to execute a lot of those, right?
Yeah.
Heart transplants, I feel like, are done, you know, a lot, all the time. But you don't often hear of a lung transplant. So she got a lung transplant, and they think that she'll be able to live a normal life. And she's only in her 20s. So, yeah. All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The NHL nailed down another key date in its plan to resume and finish its season. In a step closer to implementing a 2014 tournament, the league announced that formal training camps will open on July 10th. Phase 2, which includes voluntary small group workouts at team practice facilities, is currently underway for the Flyers and many other clubs. If the training camps go as planned and remain safe, the NHL and NHLPA could aim for an implementation of Phase 4, which means actual games in late July or early August. A two-week camp would end on July 24th, giving the league one more week that month to get ready for the beginning of the 2014 tournament. The NFL plans to increase its social justice footprint by pledging to donate $250 million over a 10-year period. The commitment extends and expands the initial deal owners struck with the Players Coalition that would have surpassed $100 million during its term. The Players Coalition is the main group that negotiated with owners on behalf of players who began demonstrating during the national anthem in 2016 to shine a light on police brutality and systemic oppression. And as the NBA gets ready for its 22-team Orlando restart schedule, 14 of the teams will be eliminated within 53 days of arriving, and only four teams will remain after 67 days. The NBA has been working to make clear to players that the actual commitment of time for most teams in Orlando, Florida, may be less daunting than originally perceived. The NBA is planning to begin camps on July 9th, and teams will quarantine before beginning training camps before regular season games resume on July 30th. The six teams eliminated after eight regular season games and a possible play-in tournament for the number eight seed would leave Orlando within 35 to 40 days. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Glorious day for many reasons. Number one, it's Friday. No sad, bro. We know that. It is going to be beautiful weather-wise. Sunny, high of 87.
Love it.
It's Steve Morrison's birthday.
Thank you. Hey. Thank you so much.
Yes.
It's an honor to be alive.
So happy birthday to you, sir. And I celebrate 21 years of wedded bliss.
Yay!
And I didn't forget either. So
you got me a bowling ball.
So it's a beautiful day.
Are you doing anything for your birthday?
For my birthday? Not a lot. My wife always, she made me some chocolate chip cookies. I saw them on the way out this morning. And I think we might have one or two people over to the house and just play it low-key. And then, obviously, a 50 or 60-person orgy unprotected sex in a face mask.
Nice.
Without face mask.
Yeah. Remember to glory hole, though.
Absolutely. Yep. Safety.
Safety first.
Jeez, enjoy.
We're in this together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
An orgy, we would all be in it together at the same time sometimes. All right. Well, we welcome everybody on this Friday morning. We have a few other things that are planned. We have a guest on the show, Judd Frickin' Apatow, will be joining us. The King of Staten Island is available now everywhere on demand.
Yeah.
It's essentially the Pete Davidson story, right?
Needless. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So if Pete Davidson had not become a comedian, it's kind of a take on that. His father, who his actual father died, 9/11 firefighter. It's the same sort of story, but a number of us watched it, really liked it.
Excellent. So we'll talk to him around 9 o'clock this morning. And we have to name, sadly, I mean, it's a joyous occasion, but it's our last Coolest Teacher of the Year announcement. So we are ready to do this. You ready to make the announcement? All right, give me that drum roll. No, give me the drum roll.
Dude, listen.
Not the burp. Not the 38 special.
No said, bro.
No said, bro.
I'm telling you, my headphones are broken. They've been broken for half of a week, and it's really affecting me now. It really is. Like, I can't.
Well, that is.
You look like a club DJ with the
and the volume, the only volume that I do get out of the, which is technically the left channel, but I have bad hearing on my left ear, so I have to flip it to my right ear.
Well, wait, there's headphones over here.
Yeah, those are, like, basically screwed in.
You can't. Are there any in the MMR? In the main?
Well, you know, so Rob, who I love, he's a great engineer. I was like, my headphones were... Oh, I ordered headphones that got lost in transit. Okay.
By the way, may I interrupt? As you literally said, like within 10 seconds after you said they're screwed in, Marissa came walking in with a screwdriver. She's unbelievable.
There you go.
Here's another option. Them. You can borrow mine and I can use these because they're screwed in.
Well, you heard Rob Grussman go, let me go grab you a pair of headphones real quick. It's like like one of those fathers that, like, he went out for a pack of cigarettes and never came back.
But here's the deal. You know, we are so thinly staffed right now that our engineering department is putting out fires all over the
place.
But
that's the second time he's done that to me. My chair squeaks. He was like, all right, I'm going to go get you some WD-40 right now. Right. And then, like, he never came back. I was like, Dad?
Where are you going, Daddy?
I take that back then. He doesn't like you. I guess that's the case. All right, Marissa has brought over headphones. Casey, I'm not doing anything until you plug those in and you feel like a whole man again.
We got to do this right. We owe it to the teachers.
Now he's got the new headphones. We have the final Coolest Teacher of the Year. We had reached out to Woodstown High School on the airwaves and said, text us. Tell us who is the coolest teacher of the past year. And we have a name, and we would like to congratulate Mr. Paul Kranz.
Yeah! Can you teach me? Can you teach me?
Mr. Krantz from Woodstown High School is in the English and Theater. He's the Communications Academy English and Theater Department. And he's been teaching there since 1987, his 30th year as the Drama Club Advisor. He directed the Woodstown Annual Drama Club Musical for 26 years.
Wow.
He's a musician. He's been doing online performances. He got a couple of bands he jams in. These are just a few of the things that we know about Mr. Krantz. So, Mr. Krantz, congratulations, first of all. And second, if you'd like to call us this morning, we would love to hear from you and just find out a little bit why the kids have voted for you or what you think about that, and give you your totally, calendar. It's your coolest teacher of your coffee mug. And that's the last one that we have for the year. So normally we draw for another one, but not today.
Yeah, yeah.
Next year we'll get at it again. So that and some other stuff we have to get to this morning. We've got some beer to give away and so on. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we will get into the entertainment news, the stupid question, and all that stuff. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to give away a digital download of the pulse-pounding thriller Becky, starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. If you can answer this question correctly, and it's about a movie. It's about the movie Monsters Ball, which I never did see. I only saw little portions of it.
The little one with the big eye?
Nope.
No, that's Monsters Inc.
Oh, the one with Halle Berry and, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, here's a question that I have for you is there were three actors in that film that had won Oscars. Who are they? 215-263-WMMR. Which three actors?
That's a good question.
From Monsters Ball were Oscar winners? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Friday, June 12th, it is Marv Albert's birthday today.
Yes, yes.
Marv Albert is 79 years old.
I'm going over great national announcers with my son last night, and Marv's name came up. He still does a good job. I mean, Marv is
legendary.
There was
a misstep there.
Got his issues.
Also one of the few men ever to want a threesome with another guy present.
But he's a great
announcer.
I don't
know. I see loads of videos where that happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It wouldn't be my thing.
He's not one of the few guys. You may not be into it, but apparently there's a whole community out there. And Marv Albert is one of them.
I'm into figging, President.
God bless him.
Did he like to wear women's underwear, or does he like to wear women's underwear?
That was the word.
Is that what it was?
That was the word, yes.
That seems fairly benign even right now.
Yeah, by today's standards?
Yeah. You kidding me?
He's an amateur.
Yeah. He's 79 today. Also celebrating a birthday today, drummer Bun E. Carlos of Cheap Trick. And Bun E.'s thing for a long, 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 long time was he would play with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
That's right.
And I mean the entire show. And I am watching them live. I don't think I ever saw him switch the cigarette and light up another one. So he must have done it, you know, very deftly.
Discreetly, yeah.
During breaks. But that was his thing. And he eventually quit smoking. And he's a great drummer. I always dug him in particular and Cheap Trick overall.
They all had
a cool band.
Quirky looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all had their own thing.
Right.
So he is 70 years old today. Timothy Busfield of Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, my God.
And 30-something and Field of Dreams celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
I liked his character on 30-something. I used to really like that show. And, it was well-written. It was This Is Us before This Is Us, Kathy.
Right. And I watched, I told you guys I watched that show Designated Survivor. He's in that.
That's true, yeah.
And I had to point out to my wife, I'm like, that's Poindexter from What?
It can't be.
Yeah, and I showed side-by-side pictures. I was like, well, son of a bitch.
What's happening?
So Timothy Busfield is 63 today. Jason Mewes of Jay and Silent Bob fame, Clerks, Dogma, all that stuff.
There's a guy who turned it around.
Yeah, he's 46. Yeah, he had a heroin problem.
A bad one.
Yeah, and You know, I remember
there's a good one.
For all the years that we've known Kevin Smith, we've known him when Jason was going through the bad times as well. And
yeah,
and Kevin, as a true friend, stuck by him, tried to help him, and I think did help him pull him out of that hole.
And Jason Mewes is hilarious, you know, as you would imagine, in the last Jay and Silent Bob movie. If you get a chance, watch it, because he's in great shape.
I mean,
looks good, sharp.
It really sucks to be close to somebody who is suffering like that,
because
there's a fine line between being a friend and being an enabler. And, you know, any, like, really, really good seasoned addict will prey upon that.
Yeah,
that love.
Yeah.
You know, right. So Kevin, you know, was in a tough, tough position and stood his ground.
Jason's 46 today. Finesse Mitchell of Saturday Night Live.
What's he up to?
Is 48. I have no idea.
Finesse Mitchell, man.
Well, he's doing stand-up. I mean, we had him in studio not that long ago.
Okay.
Tried to hook up with my friend.
Did he?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which friend?
It was a girl that I went to college with. It was years ago. It was, I think we were right out of college. But, yeah, he was in town. He was in Philadelphia doing a show. Nothing like, it wasn't scandalous. You know, he was just flirting with her.
And, sure, yeah.
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 Yeah, okay.
It happens.
Did they hook up?
No, I don't believe that they did. I think that she had a boyfriend at the time. I don't remember.
Storm out because you went, that over me?
Come on.
What was it the guy said to you in Nashville again, Kathy? I want to be with you or something like that.
I want you, girl.
I want you, girl.
I want you, girl. Kathy, if you weren't married.
You know it's true.
Would that work?
What, I want you, girl?
Yeah, if you weren't married.
I screamed. He scared me. And then he got scared that I screamed and he walked away.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, well, guys, good tip here. When the woman screams, go away.
Yeah.
DJ Qualls, the actor, Road Trip, the new guy. He was even in Breaking Bad. He is 42 years old. Very, very skinny, the lanky guy.
Bird-like.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But, funny, great actor, nice guy. So he turns 42 today. Dave Franco, brother of James Franco. Movies like 21 Jump Street, Fright Night. And he was in Now You See Me as well, right?
Yep. Yes, he was.
One of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah. Right, both of them. There were two of those movies, right?
Yeah. Yes. He is 35 today. And Steve Morrison's birthday.
Oh! We'll hit that again. Hey. Oh, you're too kind.
Happy birthday. Why are we playing? Is this?
Because I am the greatest American hero.
Yeah. Okay.
Just look at the list. And then behind me, you have the astronauts.
I can't believe I'm going to do the happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to ya.
Happy you.
Happy
know,
birthday.
I love that. I love that version.
I do too.
Up on the screen is the one and only picture I think I look moderately human in. And
okay.
It's my avatar. On my Twitter page and everything else.
The big picture or the smaller one?
Okay.
Well, there you go. Steve Morrison, forever in that picture.
And I will never change.
Nope.
And I will never swap it out for a new picture.
Happy birthday.
It's only a road to folly.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Which three actors from Monsters Ball were Oscar winners? 215-263-WMMR. We will go to Tom and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Tom, what three actors from Monsters Ball were Oscar winners?
I got Billy Bob Thornton, Halle Berry, and Heath Ledger.
You, sir, are correct.
Halle Berry won for that movie.
Yes, she did. And was Heath Ledger's Oscar posthumous?
Yes, it was.
For Joker?
Yes.
I mean, for portraying Joker.
Yeah.
Okay. And Billy Bob Thornton...
he had won for Sling Blade.
He had won Best Actor for Sling Blade?
I think he had won Best Screenplay.
Okay.
All right.
So, you got it right. Tom, hang on the line. We'll get your information. And we are going to give you a digital download of the Pulse Pounding thriller, Becky, starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. When a rebellious teen goes on a weekend getaway with her father, a group of convicts wreak havoc on their lives, forcing an epic fight for survival. You can stream it instantly on Redbox On Demand today. And that is rated R. All right, let's dive into some of the stories in the entertainment world that I have for you. Harry Potter stars Emma Watson and Bonnie Wright have joined their cohorts, Daniel Radcliffe and Katie Leung, I guess I said, or maybe it's Leung, I'm not sure, and Fantastic Beasts stars Eddie Redmayne in condemning J.K. Rowling's questionable remarks about trans people. Warner Brothers also issued a statement. Watson had piped up on Twitter after Rowling explained on what many consider transphobic tweets. with an essay defending her stance and detailing her previous sexual assault and allegations and alleged incidents of domestic violence in her first marriage. Watson had tweeted, "Trans people are who they say they are and deserve to live their lives without being constantly questioned or told who they are or who they aren't and who they say they are. I want my trans followers to know that I and so many other people around the world see you and respect you and love you for who you are." The 30-year-old continued saying, "I donate to Mermaids Gender and Mama Cash, two related charities. If you can, perhaps you'll feel inclined to do the same." Wright also took to Twitter and she wrote, "If Harry Potter was a source of love and belonging for you, that love is infinite and there to take without judgment or question. Trans women are women. I see and love you." Is Bonnie Wright the redhead, Nick, one of the Weasley?
Yeah, she's the one who ends up with Harry.
Married. Okay.
Ginny Weasley, yeah.
Yep. So the cast members are continuing to come out and kind of say, no, nah, we don't quite follow along with J.K. Rowling on that one. Halle Bailey is opening. I almost said Halle Berry.
I know.
Halle Bailey is opening up about how she felt when she was cast as Ariel in the live-action Little Mermaid, and trolls reacted with predictably loathsome levels of racism. Several went so far as to start a petition that was titled "Not My Ariel." The 20-year-old appeared on Teen Vogue with her sister Chloe, and inside they also discussed her upcoming album called Ungodly Hour. Halle said, "We have always learned to just keep our heads up no matter the situation, no matter what anybody has to say about you. You just keep pushing." Director Rob Marshall said at the time the news broke, "It was abundantly clear that Halle possesses a rare combination of spirit, heart, youth, innocence, and substance, plus a glorious singing voice. All intrinsic qualities necessary to play this iconic role." Several celebs, including Halle Berry, responded warmly to the news. She wrote, "In case you needed a reminder, Hale's got it done. Congratulations on this amazing opportunity. We can't wait to see what you do." All right, one small but juicy comment often becomes the focus of articles about celebs, and Anna Kendrick is over it. The Oscar nominee hit up Twitter to address recent quotes that she made to Vanity Fair about making Twilight. In the film, Kendrick plays Jessica Stanley, a pal of Kristen Stewart's character Bella Swan. Discussing the movie, Kendrick had said, "The first movie we filmed in Portland, Oregon, and I just remember being so cold and miserable, and I just remember my Converse being completely soaked through and feeling like, you know, this is really a great group of people, and I'm sure that we would be friends at a different time, but I want to murder everyone." She continued, and she just meant the conditions were a pain in the ass.
She wasn't saying that she literally was planning the murder of her castmates.
Or that she even disliked them.
What she seems to suggest is that she doesn't like inclement weather, which would it's outlandish.
She continued saying, "Although it was also kind of bonding, there was like something about it that was like, you know, you go through some trauma event. Like, you imagine people who survive a hostage situation, and you're kind of bonded for life." After reading copious headlines about her own misery filming the movie, she responded by saying, "Oh, I thought we stopped doing this. Actress makes a dumb joke about the cold weather, but we turned it into clickbait anyway crap, like in 2014. You okay, hun?" So she's saying it's a bunch of, you're making a big thing.
Well, they're also scraping for every bit of news morsel they can grab at this point, because it's all the same stuff over and over again. So you take something like this, it's going to blow up.
Haley Steinfeld's work as executive producer.
It's a Haley story.
I didn't even notice that. You're right.
One was a Hallie, but Hallie, whatever.
Hallie. Oh, yeah, you're right. Hallie, not Haley. Her work as executive producer for Apple TV's Dickinson, about the literary icon Emily Dickinson, was recognized by the Peabody Awards, and she is thrilled with what the achievement represents. She wrote on Twitter, "I'm so proud to be a part of a show that is about
one watches.
That is about such an important woman in history who was way ahead of her time. I'm even more proud to be a part of a show that is about fighting for what you believe in and believe is right, a show that is about seeing and being seen and understood, and a show that is about seeing everyone as equal." And Dickinson will return for a second season. So I guess somebody's watching it.
Or there's also it's the JAG effect. Not that the series where, okay, how does this stay on? But it does stay on. No, it looks really good. It gets good reviews. And as you said, somebody's watching it. Someone likes it.
I got a bit of a crush on her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Definitely. Lori Loughlin is rumored to be in talks to join The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
But bravo, honcho, Andy Cohen is not here for it. He piped up saying in an interview, there's a whole narrative, apparently, that I am pursuing Lori Loughlin for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And the first I heard about that was Twitter, but it's not true.
It'd be a good get for them, man.
Yeah, it would mm-hmm. be.
Because they're all of them have stories that are, you know, they've all done sorts of things that are, if not exactly the same, similar to Lori Loughlin's plight.
Yeah. Loughlin, who recently pleaded guilty in the college admissions case, is pals with Kyle Richards. Or is that Kylie. Kylie Richards, yeah, on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Is that the one that was in Meatballs 2? Because there is a cast member.
Nobody knows anybody who was in Meatballs 2.
Kylie Richards was in it.
One of the Richards. Is it Kim Richards?
Kim Richards
goes all the way back to Escape from Witch Mountain. Yep. She was a child star.
Yes. Yeah, and the professor.
That's the one.
That's her. One. So that's not Kylie Richards. Kylie Richards is someone else.
Okay.
Let's see. Robert De Niro stopped by The Tonight Show to discuss the upcoming Tribeca Summer Drive-In series.
Where the hell is that going to take place?
I don't know. He told Jimmy Fallon, I'd be surprised if other people are not going to come up with that because it seems like the safest thing that you can do with a bunch of people in their own cars. The show kicks off July 2nd. He also opened up about raising 6 biracial kids with his ex-wife, Dahani Abbott. He said, my children are all half black and I don't have, even me, he said, I take certain things for granted. When people say they tell their kids, keep your hands when you're stopped by anybody or cops, keep your hands on the steering wheel. Don't make a sudden move. Don't put your hands below. Don't do this. He said, you understand that. So I'd forgotten that. Yeah, he does have biracial children, so he can relate with what's going on. Ben Affleck and girlfriend Ana de Armas are getting more and more serious. The pair were spotted boarding a private jet with 2 of their 3 children that he shares with Jennifer Garner. Yeah.
Well, that's the next step, isn't it?
Brunch
and then air travel in your private jet.
And she brought her dog along.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Wow. Well,
yeah, they're blending the families. Yep.
To travel in the private jet thing, like where you don't have to go through it, well, obviously there's not a lot of, you know, standard airports now. I don't know what the air traffic is like, how many people are flying. I guess it's getting a little bit more robust. But to be able to just drive out onto the tarmac, get on the plane, bypass all the stuff, I wish I could do it.
I had I have a friend who's very well-to-do.
Yes.
And wanted to take a golf trip with some friends and invited me along. And he's like, yeah, we'll charter a jet and we'll
okay.
blah, 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 this and that and do that. And
how much you went for?
it was a little pricey, but...
It's not ridiculous, though.
Not obscene.
Obscene is the right word. You're right.
You know, we make a good living and, you know, could do it if you want to burn the money. But it's more expensive than flying commercial.
Yeah.
Did you do it, Preston?
What's that?
Did you do it?
No, I couldn't. My shoulder and the trip ended up falling apart anyway.
I would have gone even if you couldn't golf. I'll carry your bags for you. Whatever.
The better thing to do is to have a friend who's so rich that they just pay for everything. That's what you do.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't fly out of, like, they wouldn't fly out of the international airport because I guess it is a little bit different as far as going through, like, security and stuff. But they fly out of the smaller airports, and it's almost like nothing.
Yeah.
You bring your little bag. You walk through a gate. Like, no one's even there to greet you.
How many times have you been on a private jet?
How many times have you done it?
Yeah. It sounds like you've done this before.
Yeah.
Well, I have a friend who has one.
Oh, wow.
So they go to Northeast Airport all the time, and they park their car, they walk through a gate, they get on their plane, and they take off, and, like, that's it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's part of what you're paying for, it seems like, you know, as well. I mean, obviously the fuel is the big cost for...
And they can give them, they have to give 24 hours notice when they need a pilot, and if they're going overseas, I think it's like 48 hours.
Don't you want to vet that pilot a little bit?
Well, it's actually a service. They don't own the plane.
Like some guy shows up in a scratched Pinto.
Well, the service provides obviously qualified pilots.
Yeah, I'm a pilot.
Preston has a friend that does that. Kathy has a friend that does that.
I don't.
I do not.
Yeah,
I think all of my friends have driver's licenses.
Yeah, but look back at your life. What mistakes have you made that they have this and you don't?
They could drive you to the regular airport.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so,
look at that. You're already making advances.
Yeah, you're getting there. You're getting there someday.
By next Monday, you'll own your own airliner.
Quick question, Preston. Were you asked to buck up for said jet?
Yeah, for sure. Oh. Yeah. No, it was like, here's how much it'll cost for each person. And that included where we're staying and all the golf and everything. He had it all broken down.
Oh, you should... Just write a check that bounces.
What did you think it was?
I thought he was going to pay for the whole thing.
No. Oh. No. I mean, it was, you know, no. It was a group of people going.
That's a terrible friend, Preston.
And here's how much it's going to. No, it was actually, it would have been worth it. That's, but yeah. I couldn't do it.
Damn.
So anyway, Affleck, of course, met the 32-year-old DeArmas shooting Deepwater in New Orleans. The pair have been quarantining together. They've been taking daily walks. They've been wearing matching heart necklaces. They've been having
Christ.
So, yeah, they're walking.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow, man, they're doing it all. Those celebrities live the fast life.
That they do. How about this? In a competitive situation with multiple outlets bidding, Dakota Johnson is attached to star in and executive produce a mockumentary series currently in the works at Amazon. And it's titled Rodeo Queens. The series follows an ensemble of rodeo queen hopefuls as they compete for the coveted crown.
Mm.
A writer's room for the series will open soon with a full series order expected.
Have you ever been to a rodeo?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We used to go as a kid. We were friends with a family who was that was their living. They
owned a private jet.
Well, no, they were rodeo people. They had they had bulls and
wow,
and, yeah, and in fact. The young starter, who was my sister's age, and she was at the time was only in like, I don't know, third grade or something like that, would ride this Brahma bull named Coco. Mm. It was crazy. Jump through a hoop of fire and do all these wild things.
Jesus Christ.
He had skunks, and the father was a clown. He was a rodeo clown, which is an insanely dangerous job.
They're the ones who distract the bucking bulls and all that stuff.
Yeah. So we used to go. Yeah, they're fun, man. Rodeos are fun. Absolutely.
I went to the Calgary Stampede one year, which is the annual event in Calgary. It's like July 1st or July 4th or something like that. And it's huge and it's awesome and it's fun. There is a bit of the element of, are these animals being treated okay? Because you look at, the things that they tie around the bulls or whatever, but you can't deny that it's a good time.
Are all bulls kind of ornery or some of them pretty chill?
I don't know.
Oh.
I assume the mellow ones don't make it to the big show. Yeah. The ones that write poetry.
Right. Ferdinand.
Yeah.
The show will mark the return to TV for Johnson, who previously starred on the Fox comedy series Ben and Kate. Beyond that, Johnson, of course, is best known for her film roles like 50 Shades of Grey. Let's see. The NAACP has teamed up with Tommy Oliver and Adam Platzner of Confluential Content for what's called Hashtag I Take Responsibility. It's a new campaign launched to encourage white people to call out racism. Julianne Moore, Kristen Bell, Sarah Paulson, Aaron Paul, Bryce Dallas Howard, Deborah Messing, Justin Theroux, Kesha, Piper Perabo, Stanley Tucci, a whole bunch are among the celebs who have agreed to participate. Platzner, a partner and vice chairman, Confluential Content, said recent events in this country have shown us what we need to take a different that we need to take a different approach if we are to be impactful, and that's what led me to create this effort. So those people and more are getting on board for that.
They released a video last night, and it's a black and white video, and they're all talking about taking responsibility. It's interesting to watch.
All right. Steve, you had mentioned This Is Us earlier.
Yes.
Jazz Waters, a writer for the hit NBC family drama, has died at the age of 39.
Well, that sucks.
Waters also worked on Jim Carrey's Kidding, Hood Adjacent with James Davis, and the film What Men Want. The official writer's account for the show shared their grief on Twitter, saying the entire This Is Us family was devastated to learn that Jazz Waters' passing. In her time together, Jazz left her mark on us and all over the show. She was a brilliant storyteller and a force of nature. We send our deepest sympathies to her loved one. She was one of us.
No cause of death listed?
R.I.P. Nothing in this story. No, I have not seen.
I saw that it was suicide.
Oh my God.
God. Hate hearing that. Let's see. Elsewhere, Ava DuVernay has been elected to represent directors for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences on its board of governors. It was an election that brought a record number of women and people of color, 26 and 12 respectively, to the 54-person board. DuVernay's 2014 Selma got passed over in nominations. 153 Academy members across the organization, 17 branches, were up for election this time around. So she is on board the Academy, as you always hear them just refer to it as the Academy.
Right.
So. And then I saw this, a stolen artwork by a mysterious artist, British artist Banksy, that was painted as a tribute to the 90 people killed in the 2015 terror attack by Islamic extremists at the Bataclan Music Hall in Paris, has been found in Italy. So this thing was stolen. Prosecutors in La Aquila said Thursday that the artwork was recovered a day earlier during a search in the town of Tortoreto in the Abruzzo region, and it was found hidden in an attic.
And what is it of? Do we know? Is it one of these self-eating pictures, or is it...
No. Okay. It was on a door, and it looks like someone in a hazmat suit or something.
Right,
like that,
right.
Looking down.
We're looking at it now. Okay.
No arrests have been made, with authorities saying that they were still investigating. French officials last year announced the theft of the artwork, a black image appearing to show someone in mourning that was painted on one of the Bataclan's emergency exit doors. So I guess it was on one of the doors at the Bataclan, and it was stolen. When we went to London, I took a tour. We had a tour guide that took us around, and I wanted to do a Beatles tour. The other thing I wanted to do was a Banksy tour, because some of them are still up in public.
Right, right.
And they are protected. And I really wanted to see. I think he's fantastic. It's interesting. It's thought-provoking. It's controversial. And it's beautiful art. And I really wanted to go around and see some of those.
Yeah.
I know you can find them in other countries as well, but London, you know, I think has a decent amount of them that are still available. But they are incredibly...
Either that or the Benny Hill tour, right?
Yeah. But they are incredibly... what's the word I'm looking for? Expensive or valuable.
Okay.
Is what I'm...
Then don't put it on a door.
Well, that's what he does.
Yeah,
He does it in public, and
you know Banksy.
He takes no money from it and just leaves it there. And
yeah,
it's wild.
He had. I keep saying he could be a she.
Who knows? I know. Yeah.
Banksy painted a whole bunch of art and then paid somebody to sell it on the street, and they didn't know that it was Banksy art, and so it looked like it was just like a regular street artist,
right?
Yeah.
You know, selling that stuff, and then it wasn't revealed until a little bit later on that it was actually Banksy art. So you could have bought.
Yeah,
he's kind of an event artist. Yeah. Do you remember the guy Christo? I think his name was.
He just died last week.
Yeah, he would wrap. He wrapped a small island in like was it pink Saran wrap or something?
Yeah, he did
like that.
Really big. Productions.
He did those orange banners in Central Park a few years ago. Do you remember that?
I do remember those.
It was really impressive.
Yeah. By the way, were you screaming a lot or something?
You know what, man?
Sore throat.
Yeah, my wife's all worried. She's like, "What's going on? Are you feel okay?" I feel 100% fine.
Okay.
You were screaming about Pop-Tarts yesterday.
I was screaming about Pop-Tarts yesterday. Could have been yesterday, Kath.
Maybe. Yeah, sometimes there's a delayed effect when you scream about pastries.
Yeah, that happens.
Toasted pastries.
Pastryitis.
But, you know, if Dr. Mike's listening and he wants to drop by and give me a COVID test, you know, I'm here. He knows where to find me.
Wait, did you ever get your antibody test back?
Yeah, it was negative.
No, he's pregnant, though.
I am pregnant. Yeah. Twins.
Hey, so you could still have it. Who knows? Yeah. You could still get it because you haven't got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool?
You can still get it.
That's great, man.
You're not left out.
Hey, there's a movie opening, and we're going to do that. All right, one movie we have on our list. It's The King of Staten Island, directed by Judd Apatow, who's going to be joining us around 9 o'clock this morning. It's comedy, and it's been released today. Actually, late yesterday it got released, so you can now watch it. And it stars Pete Davidson and Marissa Tomei and others. And I have a partial description here. Scott has been a case of arrested development since... his firefighter father died when he was 7. He has now reached his mid-20s, achieving little. Chasing a dream of becoming a tattoo artist that seems far out of reach. And his ambitious younger sister heads off to college. Scott is still living with his exhausted ER nurse mother and spends his days smoking weed, hanging out with the guys, Oscar, Igor, and Richie, and secretly hooking up with his... And then it says show more, and I didn't get to see more.
His friend. There,
so.
Yeah.
With his friend.
The other friends don't know that he's hooking up with her, so they keep their boyfriend-girlfriend status quiet.
Ah. So like I said, it's available now. I don't have a Rotten Tomatoes score.
71.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. 71%. And like I said, we'll have Judd on later on. He also wrote it with Pete Davidson and Dave Sirus.
You know who's excellent in it? Bill Burr.
Yeah?
Awesome. Yeah, he's really good as a firefighter.
All right. Let's do the clips. Netflix's Da Five Bloods has similar themes to Spike Lee's other films, but it's only his second war movie. In this clip, star Delroy Lindo discusses what he hopes audiences will take away from the film. Here it is.
I hope that people have an enhanced understanding and feeling for these black men in terms of the love that they share. And in sharing that love, that's an expression of their humanity. And the fact that we may not be what you think. We're not scary. We're scared as much as you're scared.
Yeah! I love that guy.
He's really good. He's really intense.
In Malcolm X,
yes.
He's the gangster that kind of takes Malcolm under his wing. In Cider House Rules, he's the father that does some pretty horrible things.
He's great in Get Shorty, too.
In Get Shorty, yeah. He is a great actor.
He played Hannah Montana. That's his range. Is that good?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
The Five Bloods is available to watch on Netflix today, by the way. Here's the next clip. After being delayed twice, Disney's Artemis Fowl has finally reached audiences worldwide. In this clip, star Josh Gad talks about what it was like working with the movie's director, Kenneth Branagh. Here we go.
This one not only welcomes, but in many cases requires more improvisation. He pushes me in that direction and really welcomes nonstop creative input. I always do one or two as scripted, but inevitably it always ends up being, okay, now play with it. Now do your thing. Go have fun.
Is this a tween thing or...
It looks like it has a huge budget. It's okay. Very magical. I'm not familiar with the source material. Yeah. Something leads me to believe that it's based on some sort of series.
Well, it looks like it.
It's pretty fantastical, looking though. I was interested in it, yeah.
Looking at the artwork for the film poster. So, all right, anyhow, Artemis Fowl can be streamed on Disney Plus now.
You know, a lot of these were ready for full theater releases, but you have to do what you have to do.
You do.
Yeah, it's from a book series.
Okay.
And there you go. Hope you got something out of that, because that's it. That's all I got. That's my entertainment report this morning. I do, however, have a case of beer. For those who may be interested in grabbing a drink, we'll take caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Give you a case of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. Crowd-pleasing, local favorite, goes well with just about anything. A refined malt sweetness combined with gentle, noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations. And you can also order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at slyfoxbeer.com. Caller 15, 215-263-WMMR. Hang on, Nick wants to say something. Nick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Preston.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Dude. I can't believe I'm even... thank you so much.
All right, wait a minute. It says here, here's a little detail. Nick is in an RV in Los Angeles.
What?
Listening this morning.
That's absolutely correct, Mike.
Damn, friend. You're up early.
Well, I'm actually staying up late.
Oh, God.
All right.
Are you from here, Nick?
Well, of course, man. Why would I be listening to WMMR?
I don't know. You wanted to say something, though, right?
I wanted to wish Steve, Mr. Morrison, the best freaking birthday you have ever freaking had.
Thank you, man. That's awesome. If you were in an RV here, I'd come hang out with you.
Man, I'm telling you. I've been listening to you guys since WDRE.
Oh, wow. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Are you like living the van life right now, or what are you doing in an RV?
Yeah, I moved out of Philly. Quick synopsis. I moved out of Philly. I moved to Tucson, Arizona. I lived there for 10 years by myself, alone, completely isolated. And then I thought to myself, hey, I'll buy an RV and go live on the beach in L.A.
Wow. Your Riggs in Lethal Weapon, right? He has an RV on the beach.
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
What beach are you on? Where in L.A. are you?
I'm Dan Blocker. You know Dan Blocker, right?
Yeah, from Bonanza.
Yes. I'm on his beach.
Okay, did you hear my question?
You're on his beach. As we said, he's on his beach.
Oh, okay. You know the famous Dan Blocker beach?
Yeah.
All the surfers go?
He owns his own beach?
It's right next to Lauren Green Beach.
Well, how does that work, Nick? Do you just kind of park your RV and that's where you live for the night, or do you have to like pay to park where you are? What's going on there?
No, man, I found a place where it's completely free.
Well that, I didn't realize that existed. There's always somebody wanting to charge a fee or some sort of extra payment for being on the property like that. But
yeah, and hey, usually you're gonna, you got to hook up when you're in an RV.
You drink seawater.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that.
Nope.
All right.
No. Yeah, yeah. It's actually a great setup. It's like it's so freeing, my friend. I can't even begin to describe to you.
That's awesome.
Do you have a job?
Yeah.
What's your job?
Yeah, I got a job.
Yeah. What's your? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm an engineer at a hotel.
Wow.
Okay. So okay.
You're living the exact life you want, and you wake up to the sound of the seals in the morning.
Yeah.
I've been watching the Dolphins lately, and they're just majestic.
They are. Excellent. That sounds like a pretty cool existence.
Well, Nick, we appreciate the call. Thanks, man. And spread the word out there in L.A. about the Preston and Steve show. And go to bed, young man. You've been up too late.
No. I'm just getting started, my friend. And I really appreciate you guys. I love you, Kathy, Nick, Casey boy.
I love you, Nick.
All right, Nick. Have a great weekend, man. Let's hear from Nick, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Nick living in an RV in L.A. I love that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
Got a shout out to do. It says, hey, Preston, Steve, and Kathy. Just us. That's it.
Wow, man.
That's who they address the email to.
Okay. Okay.
Didn't know who to reach out to for this, but my wife, Mary, and I are celebrating our 5-year anniversary this Saturday, the 13th. And she loves listening to you all in the morning. Would love to get an anniversary shout out. So romantic on Friday if you're live. We're heading to the shore in the afternoon, so more than likely we'll listen to the podcast on the way down. And I know she will be shocked to hear it. She also might kill me for doing this, but I'll take the chance. And that is from Kyle Green. So an anniversary shout out to you guys. And congratulations to
it's
you.
Your anniversary today, too.
It is.
Are you doing anything special?
Yeah, we're going to go out to dinner. Haven't done that in a long
no
time.
No way.
Where at?
We're probably, there's a sushi place in Skipack that's called Tokyo.
Yeah.
That we may go to. So
love that place.
Yeah, so now they have a beautiful outdoor seating area. So it's a little waterfall.
Nice.
Yeah, by the bridge. And so we'll go hang out there.
Could it's you imagine?
Sushi.
You know, our first time eating out.
What anniversary is this? What year did you guys get?
21.
21? So you guys got married in 99? I'm good at math.
Correct. You are good at math.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then I, 20. So 97 for me. So that's 38 years.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
You're not good at math.
Yeah. It's why we. I remember you going off for your wedding, and it was a big to-do. And yeah, that's cool, man. That's awesome.
Oh, so, all right. Casey pulled this up. I didn't know he was going to do this, but this is a flashback to 2007. Live on the air.
Huh.
It was 2007. It was June 12th, 2007. Here we go. So since Steve is the gamer, Casey did this in honor
thank you.
Of,
I appreciate
of,
it.
Of your birthday today so you can enjoy yourself.
It's actually your anniversary, is it not, Preston?
Oh, my God.
are you serious?
Are you effing kidding me?
No. Oh, I swear to God,
are you
dude.
You effing kidding me?
I don't... Dude, but let me
listen to my laugh. I'm like,
I'll bet you she didn't remember either.
Yes, she did.
Come on.
Nah. To me passing off the blame on her.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't remember either.
No. I'll bet you she didn't remember.
Because that's why.
Because we remind each other of these things.
We're usually celebrating your anniversary is something, and my birthday falls on the same day. I just naturally
assume. If anybody is working at Steven Singer Jewelers, please call the hotline now. Now.
And they did. They ended up bailing me out. I got some jewelry from Steven Singer. Of course, I had to pay for it. They didn't give it to me, but they were able to help me out in short order.
They charged you double.
Yeah, she did remember. Yeah. And that was 13 years ago. Wow. I remembered this year.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I always make sure I remind you, but now it's sort of burned in your mind. When you have one of those pivotal moments where you almost get your balls cut off, you tend to remember it.
Yeah, you remembered every year after that.
But she beat me to the punch this morning. I came down, and she had, what are those things called, Casey?
A hydro flask.
A hydro flask, which is what the Visco girls would carry around. Because she has one, and I'm like, that's a really cool water bottle. I want one of those. And she left me one in the morning with, like, a whole ton of rock stickers, like band stickers of Police and The Who U2 and all these bands, and just really neat because you're supposed to put stickers on them.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That is cool.
Very thoughtful.
It's thoughtful, but I'm going to miss watching you spill water on yourself every single morning while you try and drink out of. I'm surprised you still drink out of that thermos.
I've been too lazy to get another one. So yeah.
Is the 21st anniversary anything? Is it, 20 is something, 25?
I don't. You know what? I never have subscribed to the. It's the paper anniversary.
Right. But Nick,
so much of that stuff is crap.
Yeah, but Nick, there is. It's always something.
It's always something.
And there's like two of them, right? Like one is like the traditional and the other one is...
kind of jokey or whatever?
I don't know.
Well, I was wondering because like it's, you're now legally able to drink because it's your 21st anniversary or whatever. Like, is there some sort of play on words because of that?
21st is the sushi.
No, it's nickel.
Nickel.
Nickel is the traditional gift for 21 years of marriage.
Look, honey, I bought you a cup made out of nickel.
Exactly. That's so... I don't know. I find those things kind of silly.
Look at boron.
Look it. All right.
Look it.
Let's talk to our coolest teacher.
Hey!
He is on the line and from Woodstown High School in the English and Theater and Communications departments, I guess you would say. Please welcome Mr. Paul Kranz.
Hey!
To the show. Good morning, Mr. Kranz.
Good morning.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mr. Kranz, Kevin Reardon, who works here at the radio station, is an alumnus of Woodstown High School. Do you remember him?
I do very well. He was a 2009 graduate, and he was in our communications program.
And look, he's got a career in radio.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I am.
Excellent.
Yeah.
He tells himself that every night. I'm really excited about Kevin Reardon.
I took a communications class in high school, and it definitely helped steer me in this direction a little bit, and it furthered my interest in broadcasting. So
I only wish we had classes like that. I mean, I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It is a unique class, and it's a double period. So it's one period of English and one period of communication. So it's about a 90-minute block style period.
And you're also heavily involved in the drama department as well, right?
Yes. I directed musicals. I started at Woodstown in 1987 and directed musicals there for 26 years. And we do a fall play. So it's the fall play student directed, and it's a really neat experience. And it's a lot of fun.
What's the most interesting production you put on?
Ooh, the most interesting.
Right, not the usual fare.
I think, one of the most exciting things was when we had, in 2015, we did a Tale of Two Cities, and the writer, it was on Broadway in 2008, and the writer of the show, Jill Santoriello, she came down to Woodstown for the weekend saw the show.
Whoa.
And,
yeah, it's my understanding that because of your limited budget, it was only a tale of one city, correct?
Right. Yeah, I think it was about a tale of half a city.
Half a city. No, that's cool. That's so cool that the author came to see it.
And what was the impression?
She enjoyed it. But she I remember it was exciting because she took the train down from New York City, and we picked her up in Wilmington, and she spent the weekend. And it was my 50th birthday when she came, so it was like, wow, this is like stars aligning. I remember how excited I was to announce to the cast that, guess what, guys, the writer of the show is coming to see. And she did a workshop. She did a workshop with the kids where they got to sing her songs for her in character.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. And then she did like a Q&A with one of our audiences after one of our matinees. And it was pretty intense.
And then they presented her with a trophy made of nickel, Preston.
Oh, wow. Hey, by the way, we have a an audio clip of you. You've been doing, and Marissa, is this the online stuff that we have a clip of? So you've been doing online performances, musical performances, where you play multiple instruments?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear a little. I haven't heard this yet. Here's a performance.
Oh, man, look look at my life, I'm a lot like you were.
Nice. Oh, that's excellent.
Oh, man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh, man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Do some other instruments come in here? No, this is just the guitar.
He plays a banjo.
Does it? Yeah.
Take a look at my life.
Talking about the clip that we have right now. So, yeah, because I see you play piano and banjo, and who joins you on violin?
My wife, Claudia.
Wow.
Aww.
That's
She's
awesome.
She's a teacher, too.
Okay. And where does she teach?
She teaches at the elementary school, the Mary Shoemaker School, also in Woodstown.
So you guys can spend time just hanging out playing music together. Just like Captain and Tennille.
Mm. On Saturday nights, anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's really, really great. I'm sure that has just done nothing but strengthen your marriage.
Well, I don't know.
recently separated. No, no.
All right. Well, listen, the kids love you, Paul. They voted for you. And we have this symbolic gesture from them. It is the Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug. That we're going to make sure that you get, but it's on behalf of the students.
Well, that's very kind, and thank you, guys. I was laughing because I thought, yeah, coolest teacher of the year. I just heard that In Excess song that you played, and I thought, I remember years ago, I went into school, one of my kids was wearing an In Excess T-shirt, and I said, you like the Inks, huh?
That's excellent. I love it.
Yeah, real cool.
That's cool.
Well, congratulations, Paul, and we hope you have a great summer, okay?
Thanks for calling. I guess I called you.
Yeah. But for taking the call. Yeah. Absolutely. You're welcome.
Taking the call, right.
Absolutely. All right, Paul Kranz, guys. Yeah. Woodstown High School. Got a great voice.
I love that.
That's awesome.
So I think I might know exactly where my voice went. Ironically, I was trying to learn that song on the guitar this week.
Uh-huh. And just are you kidding?
I swear to God. And when he goes up that register, I couldn't hit that note, and I was trying so hard.
Yeah.
And I think
not to go to falsetto.
Yeah. Not because I wanted to like belt it out because that's what Neil Young does in the song.
Can you sing us a little bit?
No. I can't.
You have a guitar right there.
I do have a guitar. I'm not going to do it. Don't want to pay for cable.
Not even for Steve's birthday.
Okay, for Steve's birthday.
Oh, here he goes. Me.
That's all we needed. Extortion always works.
God.
Or guilt, I should say.
But here's the deal. I don't remember the notes. That's the problem with me and guitar.
That's always an impediment to most musicians.
I don't know how musicians do it. I really don't understand.
I will tell you how you do it. You have to practice over and over and over and over and keep doing it and keep doing it. Listen, I do these drum videos, which by the way, I'm going to release one today that I think you guys are going to love. And Casey, I'll spend, a week solid of working every single day for about an hour every day until I know it. And it's hard to remember until you just do it over and over and over and it becomes second nature. Right. It just takes a lot of time. That's
it. Ladies and gentlemen, Casey Boy.
Yeah. All right.
Tribute to Neil Young.
Oh, that thing's out of tune.
Oh, man, take a look at my life. 24, there's so much more. Love alone in paradise. That makes me think of, oops.
I'm not a good guitar player, guys.
You're doing fine.
Love lost, such a cost. Give me things that don't get lost, like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Hey! Yeah! I'll take it. You don't even have to go to the high part.
Oh, man, take a look at mine.
No, I can't.
I like you!
That's what's got to be.
Yeah.
Your throat issue.
Yeah.
Oh, man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
There you go.
All right.
He did that falsetto, though, which is a little bit of a falsetto.
Oh, no, that's his. Dude, he's got that range.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that range.
That way.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you, man.
Honestly, I could listen to any version of that song at any time. It's one of my favorite songs. And there's a version that came out a few years ago with Jimmy Fallon dressed as Neil Young.
Yes.
And he does the first few verses. And then Neil Young comes out dressed as Neil Young from that era. You guys know who played banjo on that song originally?
Yeah.
Kermit the Frog.
No, it was James Taylor.
James Taylor.
That's not, really?
In fact, we had him on the air and I asked him about it. And he said that he didn't know how to play the banjo. So they had to tune the banjo like a guitar.
Yeah.
And he had to essentially just play as a guitar.
No
part.
Kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So my
Kermit, it's Neil. Would you do me a solid?
I ran into my my barber and her daughter Kaylee the other day, and Kaylee's like 16 and she's really good at guitar and she's got a beautiful voice. And I actually told her about that song. I like go, you know, like you're a little bit older now. Maybe your palate is will accept the older, like, classic stuff. And I said, I think you would sound really, really good singing that song. So
she take your advice?
She did,
turned
to
him and said, shut up. would you shut up?
Well, I told her to take a look at that song and then a whole bunch
take
of other...
Take a look at that song.
And a whole bunch of other CSN West stuff.
I think if you're a vocalist and, you know, that collection, that body of work is one to check out.
No doubt.
You can show your chops a lot easier.
I agree with you, Steve.
All right.
And not just because it's your birthday.
I appreciate that, man.
All right.
Getting too old for this.
All right. Let me dig into the junk drawer.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. I've got stories that I need to pass along, and I don't want some of these to get past us. Here's one.
look over here.
Yeah.
Did you put up the picture of your show prep this morning? How the stuff was coming out of the printer?
No, I need to do that.
You
got to
post that.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
God, the printers around here. The United.
What is going on with the printers? I don't know. So I'm still at home and I'm getting all these emails about the printers.
Wait till you see the picture of what. Wait till you see what Preston posts. It'll blow your mind.
And by the way, okay. I was cursing the printers, and Joe Bell, our GM, was walking down the hall, and he's like, "Did I just hear an F word?" And I'm like, "Oh man, you weren't supposed to hear that." But I was cleaning up whatever you were going through, Preston. Yep. There was a whole bunch of paper stuck in the printer.
The United States Postal Service has released their data about dog attacks on their mail carriers. And they say the number of employees attacked by dogs nationwide last year fell to 5,803, more than 200 fewer than the year before.
They're going in the right direction.
And more than 400 fewer since 2017.
You see all the time on AFV, they'll show America's Funniest Home Videos. I'm just very cool and happy to refer to it as AFV. But you'll see still, Preston, the classic dog chasing the mailman video.
Yeah. My dogs go crazy.
Do they?
When there are delivery people. And they're small,
yeah,
but they make a lot of noise. And one day, this FedEx worker came, and all I saw was her running to her van.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah,
they bark a lot. They come over, and they sniff you, and they stop. And it's that way every time. It's a repeated cycle. They don't sit there and growl and stay mean or
bite.
Right. They just make a lot of noise. And that's for anybody or anything. Thing that comes anywhere near our yard, and we can't get them to stop doing it. I don't know how to get them to stop doing it. I didn't need to follow through on that because when joggers go by, when somebody riding a bike goes by,
they go nuts.
They go crazy,
yeah.
And it drives us crazy. We're like, shut up.
Yeah, so my cousin's actually a mail carrier, and he has a theory on this because he gets barked at all the time, and he says that the dogs are just doing their jobs, and they don't know, like, every single person or whatever that comes to the door or near the door is a potential intruder. So they bark and bark and bark, and when they walk away, they're like, okay.
If I'm not barking, what am I to you?
Right.
What am I?
There's a meme that I love. It's a German shepherd looking out the window, and it says, I've scared away 15 male people, this and so forth, and not one thank you from anyone. I've saved their lives countless times,
right.
And not one thank you. The top five cities where dog attacks occurred in 2019 were Houston, Los Angeles, Chicago, Cleveland, and Dallas. And, of course, these are, large population cities. So of the top five states where dog bites occurred were California, Texas, Ohio, Illinois, and New York.
I would imagine that the higher degree of dog attacks, even would a city scenario present a likely
maybe just per capita or
maybe
you know,
per capita yeah because
number of people on a block or whatever.
I think you would need certain set of conditions, right? Because dogs in apartments and stuff like that.
These aren't per capita. It's 85 attacks in Texas, in Houston, Los Angeles had 74, Chicago had 54. So it's just simply the numbers.
Growing up, man, we had a gauntlet on my street. We had Samson on one side of the street and Major on the other. And at least Major was, he was like chained up to a tree. And he hit the lead would only go as far as the sidewalk. But Samson, I mean, and they were right across the street from each other. And they would bark and go after you. And it was like...
scary as hell, especially for a kid.
And you know, one of my kid who lived behind me got bit by one of them, and nothing ever happened.
We had the other day, we had to have the invisible fence people come out and tweak our fence.
Really?
Yeah, because...
It was becoming a little visible?
Oh, no. Huh. The dogs, or at least Haley, the little one, said, screw it, I don't care.
No way.
And started running out in the middle of the road, and we live in a road that people drive by at a pretty
fast speed. So it was toughing it out? Speed.
Oh, yeah. She done with it anyway. So we had to up the voltage.
Wow.
And I don't care. I don't care if you think that that's inhumane. I do not care because it's, from my perspective, it's saving our dogs' lives. It's saving our animals' lives. So, you know, they go over and they get conditioned to not go into that area. But she had, and she's also gotten bigger since we had that put in.
So she could,
so she could handle it a little bit more, and she felt it was worth it, and would run around.
What a game changer the invisible fence has been.
Oh my
God! Because we had this dog growing up who, and he was not neutered, which was a mistake. But my dad had this ill-conceived idea that he was going to breed him at one point, and that never happened. But that's another story.
That sounds a lot like me right now, bro.
Don, you have a loose dog.
But we had fence around the yard, and that dog would escape the fence all the time. He would just work his way through. And so eventually, finally, we got the invisible fence, and of course it worked.
It's not like it's the dog is constantly running up and getting electric. I've heard the it's a training device,
right?
It conditions it makes a noise,
right?
Exactly.
So if they will get the shock, the sensation,
but the alert,
but the alert happens before that does.
Yeah.
And so if they linger in an area where the alert is going off,
their head blows off.
Their head doesn't blow up, but they will get the shock. But if they it trains them over time, when they hear the alert, they back away and they don't get it any longer. So the deterrent becomes the beeping.
Yeah.
And so therefore you can train them to not go in, but it's that negative feedback that they have to get.
So prior to this, prior to the increase in size, it was working very well, correct?
Oh yeah, it was working great. Yeah. But we just had to tweak it on her. But yeah, my dogs are runners. You'd say they're gone the second you take them out. So
great for dog owners. Not so much if you're running by and a dog sees you and you don't know. You also can't see the invisible fence.
Yeah, totally.
So I've had dogs come at me. Like in my head too, when I run, is that if a dog comes after me, I'm going to climb on a parked car.
Yeah,
that's your
strategy.
I would love to see that. I would pay good money to see Kathy jump up on a car.
I love it.
I figure that most dogs wouldn't be able to get to the roof of the car, so that's where I would go. I would go on the hood and then the roof. Anyway, that's also a story for another time. But yeah, they scare the crap out of me because some of the dogs will run up until the point where they have to stop, and you know I don't know if they're coming at me.
Kathy, do you wear headphones when you run as well?
I do. Yeah,
so you can't even like really hear them coming at you either.
Like, and you know, listen, I've been scared so many times where I don't see them and, you know, and then all of a sudden I hear this barking because I'm running by. I mean, if I do see them, I'll cross the street or, you know, I'll kind of stay away just so I can keep an eye on them. But yeah, sometimes they get you.
Yep. So anyhow, fortunately, we have a list of something that Philadelphia is not on.
We're finally not on a crappy list.
Our dogs don't bite you.
That's great.
Male persons.
Our cats do.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What else we got here? Dig in
deep there, man. It's the weekend. We need good stuff.
So we're talking about sports now that take place without crowds.
Yes.
Currently, there is a technology being worked on and tested by a Toronto-based company. They're called Champ Tracks Technology, which was founded in 2018 and currently conducts performance tracking for baseball, basketball, and hockey teams. With no games to process data from, the company has been testing out a new product, and it's called Hear Me Cheer, which is being touted as a way to provide fan engagement in the time of social distancing. So according to the founder, Elias Anderson, he said it's a platform designed for fans on the couch to watch their favorite team play and have their audio heard on the broadcast. Each fan sits at the couch They go to their phone, go to their website. They put their phone down, and in the background, it automatically records their sounds, sends it out to our server, and then it creates one audio stream with everyone's sound.
Interesting.
So it congregates hundreds of households to create one audio stream. Now, according to him, the process unfolds quickly. Audio gets sent to the company's server. It's filtered out by the web server. Then a group of engineers process the audio, listen for the sound, and filter what they think is appropriate. So it's not really going to be real time.
But you're getting a live ambient sound, like an environmental sound.
Kind of, yes. It's going to be delayed, though, which it means there's a way to filter out any heckling as well, especially profane comments.
Right.
As well as a method to keep the loudest voice from shouting over anyone else. He said because there's so many people on the system, once you get above 20 or 30 people, even if someone screams at the top of their lungs, they won't be heard on the broadcast because we do this filtering that basically makes sure that no one voice can be heard over the others. This is something that has evolved quickly, and according to Anderson, the company is in deep negotiations with 8 of the top 12 grossing sports leagues worldwide. It started when Anderson was in Arizona before spring training was postponed. He was pitching teams about the tracking offerings from Champ Tracks and suddenly got two messages in the span of about 10 minutes from different engineers saying that they were working on this Hear Me Cheer thing.
Hmm.
The goal at the moment is to demonstrate it and use it in front of the leagues that may return a little sooner, which could be the NBA or the NHL.
Would you have a problem if they play one of these games and pump in some artificial crowd?
No, because it's going to sound weird anyway. You know, and it's all so everything. Matter. Every viewing experience is going to be an adjustment anyway, right? So you're already going in with this mindset that like what I'm watching now is not watching the Flyers at the Wells Fargo Center in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just that's not what it's going to be,
right?
So
you're going to be seeing the gameplay, it's just an accentuation to it.
If it enhances it a little bit, even if it's an odd enhancement, I'm all for it.
I think hockey will sound cool because the skates on the ice and the stick slapping and stuff like that. Basketball is going to sound weird because it's just going to be nothing but squeaking.
And you'll hear players, too. Yeah. You know, you're going to hear coaches yelling. You're going to hear players yelling at one another. So that sound's going to come through. It's just going to be different.
I like the idea of hearing the players. I think that'd be a cool, you know, like when they mic up guys and you listen to them.
Right.
I always dig that audio. I think it's a peek into the game.
Yeah. What about like the blatant F-bombs and stuff like that?
They'll have a delay, I'm sure.
Well, I would imagine the league is going to ask them to, look, guys, they're going to be able to hear us.
Ratchet that back.
You might have to pull that back a little bit. Yep.
Stinky head.
Yep. Just follow me on this. The Dropkick Murphys set a great example for this. They did a concert. They did one of the first streaming concerts.
Right.
Where they had like a full setup stage. And in between each song, Ken Casey would go to the side and take some water, or, like take his breath or whatever. And it was silent. Huh. And there was like one guy off to the side and he would every once in a while like, woo! It was really funny. But then when they played Fenway the other day, they kind of figured it out. And in between each song, when Ken would talk or if he needed a moment to like catch himself back up, you would
play the Mario theme?
Yes. Oh my God, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No. They would like play like riffs on a guitar, like the drummer would just kind of like hit a couple notes or something like that. And it just filled up that quiet moment. Yeah. So they kind of figured out.
I'm just going to take a break right now. Excuse me.
But that's kind of what we try to do as well when we're at like live events and things like that. We like to have some music filling it out because it's awkward when there isn't anything in the background. So
all four major sports should just watch that concert and figure out how they figured it out.
They should have the Dropkick Murphys there to play in between pitches. Yeah.
That would be kind of cool if it was like XFL and there was like bands playing in between each play.
So they're going to try this filtering in the crowd thing from your home, which is kind of interesting.
They do that anyway. I mean, when you're at a professional sporting event, they usually have music and stuff that pumps during commercial breaks and timeouts and all that.
Yep, transitions. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, what else we got here? Let's find something Kathy would be interested in.
Ooh.
Hot pants.
Kathy's all about hot pants.
The term hot was tacked onto the style name back in the 1950s due to the shock factor they brought. And this trend is one that women originally broke out in protest of their expected dress code at the time. Longer hems and an overall modest aesthetic were the norm back in the day.
What's that you wearing there, Molly? I can see your coin slot.
Wow.
Molly, huh?
Yeah. I suggest you get back upstairs and change, young lady.
But that didn't keep women from showing off their bodies loud and proud with the evolution of short shorts. And we continue to see the rise of this trend from the 50s through the 70s. And believe it or not, in the year 2020, they are back and hotter than ever.
Hot.
That's right.
Sizzling.
So hot pants are a thing right now, Kathy.
All right, but, okay, what are hot pants? I don't know.
Super short.
Yeah, they're
super short.
And that not the, like...
Because we called... So, like... We called, I think they called them, I don't know, some sort of version of hot pants, but okay. It was just like what my friends, you know, deemed the hot pants. So it wasn't, I guess, actually. So this is just like super short shorts.
Yeah, mainly short in the front.
Okay? Almost like boy short.
Yeah.
In the back. Yeah.
They kind of come up a little bit on the sides, on the hip, just a little bit. But
where you see the butt cheek, right?
You can sometimes.
A little bit, yeah.
They're usually very, very form-fitting.
So apparently they're back. This trend is, they say, is here to stay, but the one that's taking off are the knit hot pants.
Oh,
Kathy.
Okay, yeah.
So have you noticed that?
I mean, I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, but
That would be uncomfortable.
They made an impact on the spring summer 2020 runways and were styled in such diverse ways that it's only a matter of time before the trend started bubbling up in the real world as well. Fashion girls are currently taking a particular liking to the knit styles of hot pants, but there are plenty of tailored and structured versions to combat the loungewear aesthetic as well.
I don't really wear shorts, ever.
Never. Okay, really. You don't like them.
I think I own 3 pairs of shorts.
Why not?
I just don't. I just don't like them. Like, I'll wear a romper, you know, which is like the one piece.
Yeah.
And that'll be shorts, but that's it. Like, that's my extent of shorts. I don't wear denim shorts any others.
For summer comfortability, you would wear more like a sundress over shorts.
Exactly. I have 9 million dresses.
Okay. It's not the not exposing the legs thing. It's just shorts.
Shorts are not comfortable to me.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, then you won't be wearing any hot pants.
Yeah.
I won't have hot pants.
F that. Especially knit hot pants up your crack.
All right. Should we take a break or do we have time?
What's going on here?
I got to pee really badly.
Okay. Well, I'll make this one
Daddy,
quick.
Can I go to the bathroom?
People who work at garages are saying pre-pandemic, every once in a while, they'd have a serious case of a mouse living in and damaging a car engine. But now the issue is getting much more common. Recently, the New York Times reported about a car dealership in Michigan that reported 5 people called in 1 week to complain about rats living in their car engine, while one technician says he usually sees about 2 calls per month about mice invading cars.
Is this because of cars being used less frequently?
Probably.
Like rat-tat Toyota?
This follows last month's announcement from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which warned of unusual or aggressive rat behavior caused in part by many restaurants shutting down during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
As the animals depend on the tossed out food scraps. Now the varmints are looking elsewhere for food, and your engine could be it.
Really? What are they dying on?
To lower your chances of... They eat carburetors.
Yeah.
To lower...
The catalytic converters.
Your chances of having this problem, drive your car once per day. Leave it parked outside...
Going to go shake the rats out of the car.
And consider spraying around the car with peppermint oil or commercially approved rodent repellent.
I found a dead mouse in the driveway yesterday, and I was curious as to what killed it because it hadn't been run over. It was just a dead mouse lying in the middle of the
driveway. Did it just give up, you think?
Maybe.
Couldn't take the pandemic?
It could have eaten poison somewhere else.
I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Maybe poison from inside and then came outside or something. Yeah, that's interesting.
Goodbye, cruel world.
You never know. I mean, maybe it was just its time. Maybe it was an old mouse.
Yeah, you never hear about animals
dying of natural causes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They do that, too.
It was cute.
It's not always a predator or some kind of accident.
So my cat, Mia, is a mouser, and so she will bring the mouse to the back door.
Yeah.
She's the only cat. All of our cats are indoors, but our vet actually told us, for her psychological welfare, she needs to go out in our yard. We don't like it, but she does it. So that gift is there, and you look at that cute little field mouse, and I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
Evolution,
they're predators.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Hang on a second. I have Josh on the line about the rats and mice in your engine. Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, bud?
I just wanted to say that if you prop your hood open with, like, a piece of wood,
yeah,
they don't like the light, so they won't, you know.
So they're looking for a dark nook somewhere to hide out in.
Right.
Okay.
But what are you going to do? Leave a piece of wood propping open your hood all day?
Yeah, you could. I mean, if you're not going to be using your car for like a week,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
then you might as well.
If it's really a concern, why don't you put a disco light under the car?
A ball,
there you go.
Yeah, disco ball. Yeah, that's a good idea.
There you go.
All right, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. All right, see you later. All right, so
it's the light that keeps him out of there.
I guess so, but that's apparently a thing that they're seeing more of. And it's directly related to the pandemic.
Well, then I made a big mistake because I replaced my carburetor with a wheel of cheese, Preston.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, and that's all I got in the junk drawer. Thank you for allowing me to clean that out. We're going to take a break a little bit later on this morning. We're going to have Mr. Judd Apatow joining us. That's around 9 o'clock to talk about the movie The King of Staten Island, which is available now on demand everywhere. We'll be back with the Bizarre Files. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration and complete details at WMMR.com, and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bollé and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And our fine sponsor this morning is Godshall's. All the bacon tastes 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. From their family of employee owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. A Florida man is facing felony charges after police said he let a 12-year-old girl drive his SUV and told her to speed because he wanted to be, quote, a cool father. Even though he's not her dad.
He just wanted to be.
Yeah. Sean Michelson told the arresting officer he is friends with the girl's mother and that the girl and her friends were staying with him for a few days.
I got an idea.
He said the girl had asked earlier in the day if she could drive his Jeep, so he thought it would be cool and that he was just trying to be a cool father, the police report said. Michelson also told officers he had been drinking.
Oh, really?
The officer said in his arrest report that he spotted the Jeep make an illegal U-turn.
I only gave shots to the 12-year-old, though.
And then speed away at about 12:10 a.m. He followed the Jeep, reached speeds of 85 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. Before he was able to pull it over. He said that when he asked the 12-year-old why she was driving so fast, she said Michelson told her to. He's charged with child neglect.
And she's quite good, don't you agree, officer?
Here's a follow-up story. The trial for a woman accused of dressing as a clown and fatally shooting her lover's wife in Florida in 1990 has been pushed back again.
Again!
This time because of court disruptions created by the pandemic. Judge Joseph Marks scheduled the first-degree murder trial of Sheila Keen Warren to begin April 9th of 2021. The trial had previously been set for January and then moved to May. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty, by the way. Keen Warren was arrested in 2017 and extradited from Virginia, where she lived with her husband, Michael Warren. Warren's then-wife, Marlene Warren, was shot in the face in May of 1990 by a clown delivering carnations and balloons. New DNA testing.
Sad clown.
Yeah, right? New DNA testing led to Keen Warren's arrest. Michael Warren has never been charged with his first wife's death, by the way. A Lincoln, Nebraska man is facing indecent exposure charges after officers say he took off his clothing at two stores in front of witnesses. Walmart staff called police after a man in the store took off his clothes while walking.
They noticed that at Walmart?
Yeah, walking around and was yelling. Officers arrived and were notified the man had put shorts on and then was running away. They said the man was then seen removing his clothing and started running to Sam's Club. Mm. Responding officers reported that the man identified as 24-year-old Kyle Schulke tried resisting arrest but was eventually taken into custody.
I got work to do.
He was taken to the hospital and is facing indecent exposure and resisting arrest charges.
That'd be a letdown if you stripped naked at a store and no one noticed.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the point? A man was arrested Tuesday accused of riding off with a golf course beverage cart from Stadium Golf Club in Schenectady. The incident happened just before 2 p.m. as a golf course worker parked the car outside of the club's pro shop to reload it with beverages, and the suspect just jumped in the cart and drove off.
What are those things like? Are they?
Is this a golf cart?
Just a regular golf cart?
No, they're bigger than a golf cart.
Are they?
A lot bigger, yeah. And they've got coolers that are mounted onto them. Not your standard coolers. They're like, you know, commercial coolers. And they usually have cabinets and have snacks and stuff like that.
So it just took off.
It's loaded with good stuff, man. I'd love to take over the beverage cart. Police soon found the cart and the suspect at an apartment complex and took the suspect into custody. The Winslow Township Police Department in New Jersey took to Facebook Wednesday to alert residents of two bear sightings and to warn them against attempting to take selfies with the bear. They wrote in part, please do not, I repeat, do not attempt to take selfies with the bear. It came along with others.
Let me do that. You know that if you push your volume button, it'll take the picture?
He can help you with tips.
See that? Isn't that great? And then tilt it. It makes it more, the composition's a lot nicer.
Other safety recommendations. They note that people should never feed or approach bears and that families with homes in areas where black bears have been found in the past should have a bear plan, by the way.
Dog, the bear.
It's like a bear watch, a bear plan that includes.
I'm wearing a bear watch right now. It's a Seiko.
That includes an escape route and planned use of whistles and air horns. So you need to have a bear plan.
I think, so there's been a lot more intrusions of bears into more populated areas because of the lockdown.
There was a tweeted out video, Nick. You were looking at it earlier this morning directly to us of somebody that saw a bear in their backyard in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Yeah, for real.
Only no way.
And I forgot. Well, Nick's trying to find it right now, but it was
What's with these freaking jug handles?
It was tagged. We were tagged on it, and sure enough, yeah. We're looking at
Jersey? Right,
black bear. It says, hey, Preston and Steve, I know you guys talked about bear sightings before. Just had one at my house in South Jersey tonight. And that was from Colleen Crank, who had posted that. And we wrote back, holy no way. Bear watch.
Holy no way.
Yeah, so.
Bear watch.
It's making its way around. And then we'll do one more story. The San Diego County Sheriff's Department of California said deputies responded to a 911 call early Wednesday morning reporting two cars driving recklessly in Lemon Grove. They tried to stop the vehicles, but both sped from the scene. Deputies called off the chase out of safety concerns before one of the vehicles crashed into the backyard of a home.
Jeez.
The vehicle ended up submerged in the home's swimming pool. So that stopped it, but the driver was actually able to get out and flee the scene before deputies arrived. No injuries were reported.
You got a story a while ago. It was a Bentley sports car that ended up in a pool. You remember this?
Don't remember Bentley. But
super expensive car ended up right in the pool.
It happens, and that is today's Bizarre File. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Before we do that, a reminder that there's a new Daily Rush video that is up now. And you can see it at PrestonandSteve.com. It is called Season 5 of The Crown Will Be Weird. In this season, the royals are in space and they are wet. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly. Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
It's gotten to the point where I can't recognize anything, any of these videos by their description, and I end up watching it. I'm like, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
By the way, so Nick returned this week to the studio. Kathy will be returning next week to the studio. I don't know what it's going to be like seeing you wearing makeup again, Kathy.
Because I'm not wearing makeup till the 22nd. That's when Nick Murphy comes back.
Somebody's got a crush on Nick Murphy.
No, he'll be operating the in-studio cameras.
Yeah.
I texted him. I said, are you using video from the studio while you're at home? And he said, no, I'm editing Daily Rush videos that we already have. So I was like, great. So I have till the 22nd
to wear
makeup.
Week.
Listen, I don't have any makeup left.
Really? You ran through it all that quickly?
No. I was running low on it anyway. So I changed my makeup as the seasons change. My skin gets a little bit, you know, the color of it. I tan and it gets. I wear darker makeup in the summertime. So we were, you know, coming to the end of winter. And so now I've been outside so much during all of this that I need different makeup. I don't have any left. And the makeup that I typically wear, the stores are in the malls. And the malls are not open.
That's right.
And listen, the online ordering, I always have to go in and they like match my skin color to the makeup. I never remember what I get. I never write down the foundation that I'm getting or whatever. So I just go in, they match it up for me. So I can't even order online because I really don't know what I'm supposed to be wearing right now.
Description of my skin, it's flawless.
Well, we'll see. You'll be back before you know it and things are returning to somewhat normal, but a lot of people have been working from home for a while, and people are used to, like our salespeople, being in your standard,
yes,
everyday office environment.
Yep.
And some are going to remain that way too. There are offices that are finding out that, hey, we can conduct business without everybody having to be here and maybe save some costs in the process. So
it's possible.
Some people are going to continue working from home. A website. Sorry, Kath, go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to say real quick, but that's absolutely true. My uncle, they actually told him, don't plan on coming back at all. We're getting rid of the office space, and you're just going to work from home for now.
Okay. Oh, how about that? Okay.
There was a website, Steve. What was the name of this thing?
It is Sounds of Colleagues, I believe the name of it is.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, I'll find it. Let me dig it up.
It is essentially a very simple website, and it has the ambiance of your workplace if you work in an office, and you can adjust the levels of the various things that that normally make sound in the office.
So if you're working from home, it'll give you because a lot of people, that's sort of the missing element for a lot of people. They feel there's a level of productivity that apparently occurs when you hear the sounds you're used to hearing when you work.
Yeah.
And so for many, this is actually a welcome app. Whether you just play it straight off your computer. But as you were screwing around with the Preston, you noticed that it had an advantage for you, which
man, it hit my ASMR triggers big
really?
Time.
Right.
Yes. I was telling Steve, I'm like, I could set this on at night as I go off into slumberland and sleep with this all night long on. Because there are a couple of triggers, one of them being somebody typing on a keyboard, which is my main trigger for ASMR.
It is soundsofcolleagues.com.
All right, and so you have these faders that you can bring the volume up or down on, and it's got various things like the general room tone, the coffee machine, people, speaking in
right,
the background,
right,
the printer, rain on the window, keyboards, which I would crank all the way up, the office dog, a telephone, and the open window.
So they have a lot covered. Yeah.
I'll play a little bit here in a second.
All right, so keyboards are your thing. That's like your main go-to. That would be like but what about like typewriters?
Oh, yeah, that too. But they're just not, you don't hear them anymore. So, and there are various, if you go onto ASMR sites, there are all kinds of very specific type of keyboards. Kind of more clicky ones, more that are some that are like real clacky, really loud.
Do you like the clacky ones?
I like them all.
Okay.
I love them all.
Standard old style, like an Underwood typewriter would still be soothing to you as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so here's a little bit from soundsofcolleagues.com. The bubbling. That's if Casey's in the office. The bubbling is the coffee machine.
Okay. I was going to say it sounds a little like Nick eating.
Yeah, Kath, yours at home would be.
You know, you don't have to come back into work on that.
That sounds like it might be the coffee machine.
Damn!
Oh, God.
That's Nick eating.
Oh, my God. Home.
So you could, if you really wanted to, if you missed that that sound, you can just put this on and pop it up, and it'll fill out the silence.
There is Sounds of Nell, too, which is another website.
Oh, you have Sounds of Nell.
Where are y'all going?
Yeah,
I'm so tired of late. Nell being ta-ta.
That's Nell just... It's playing off in the background.
Yeah,
that's her handling a client on the phone. Can I get that paper by Monday?
Yeah,
me. Stakes!
Nope. It's Stallone's office. Yeah.
Stakes!
Vagina. Vagina.
Nothing is over!
Sounds of Rambo.
Yeah.
You're better than that! That ain't you!
Nothing is over!
All right, yeah, so if you if you're interested, it's called it's called The Sounds of Colleagues.com or Sound of Colleagues.
I bet you that'd make a big difference if you, because there is a weird sort of silence. If you say, if you're working by yourself and you know, you're in a room, whatever, do you like it? Do you like it quiet when you're doing work? Do you think it's enhanced by the office environmental sounds, Preston, if you're doing any work?
No,
you like it absolutely quiet.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. I mean, like, what I don't like is television on, music on, something like that. Oh. It can distract.
Do you ever work with your headphones on with music on?
No.
I like that. That helps me to get centered and concentrate.
Yeah, not me. As in my work outside of being here in the studio, it constitutes of going through stories and finding interesting things to talk about on the air. So no, I like to be in the zone as far as not being distracted.
Hmm. Yeah, me too.
So yeah, you as well, Kath.
The headphones on with the music, it distracts me because I'm humming and singing and
dancing.
I think that's why I think that's why I like Fish so much because the jamming you can sort of like.
It's mindless. It's dumb. You just let it flow.
A lot of times when I work out at home, I will put on like the home shopping channel because it's nothing I really have to pay attention to, but it's sound.
Yeah.
No, Casey, it flows. It's just
music and it's just sort of a soundtrack to my thoughts. And, you know, when you have lyrics, it's sort of that takes your main attention.
Okay. So you're talking about the longer form,
the jams and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I could see that. Listen, one of the things Casey pointed out with more and more time over the past few months that have been, spent at home and lack of, ability to go out and keep yourself entertained elsewhere that people have maybe tried, some things at home. We've talked about this before, various hobbies or new things, maybe improvement around the house, or you wanted to take a crack at this or that. And I'm sure that we have both success stories and failure stories. So I wouldn't mind hearing from people who have attempted to do something and found out, no, I just can't do it. Or surprised yourself by trying something out that maybe even you're just the most mildly interested in, and you found out, oh my God, I'm actually really good at this.
Yeah, it can break either way. Yeah. Absolutely. There has been, and I know this for a fact because there are a few people that we have an electrician, Mike, and a few other people that we're talking to about stuff that's going to be taken around the house that we want them to come to the house and tend to that we had to put off when we went into lockdown. And the general consensus is work is really starting to pick up as they are called on to fix things that people left up.
Right, right. what my wife did is, and so, you know, this is more like out of necessity, not out of like, oh, I should find a hobby. But I think some people have, you know, people's hair, it's growing and it has gotten past the point where
hair's going to grow.
Hair's going to grow. And it's gotten past the point of some, you know, comfortability for some people. So what my wife had a failure and a success on the same day. And so let's talk about her success first. She found a root spray. You know, she gets her hair done. Kath, how often do you get your hair done?
I'm probably every like 6 weeks, but I love that root spray.
Yeah. So
what is it?
Well, I mean,
covers up the grays, Steve. It's like almost like a hairspray. So like if you have some grays coming in and you can't get to the salon or you're not ready, you know, due for an appointment yet.
Right, right.
You like spray it in a little bit and it'll cover up the grays.
So my wife has never tried to do that before. She, like you, Kathy, is like every 5 or 6 weeks at the salon and she gets her hair done that way. But it had gotten to the point where she knew she wasn't going to be able to get there for a little while. So she did that. But also on the same day, she attempted to paint her toenails and I couldn't lie. You know, normally we're, hey,
well, that's your thing. That's your John.
Yeah. Do I look good in this? And, you know, yes, you look beautiful. And, you know, that's never a lie with my wife because she always looks beautiful. But she showed me her toenails and I was like, they are hard.
Like what? Like nail polish all over or what?
There was some on her face.
I mean, Kathy, it looked, and I hope she's not mad at me because it's funny.
Yeah.
It looked like a four.
Well, you'll find out.
It looked like a 4-year-old's coloring book. You know what I mean?
Oh my god!
And I was like, "Do you want me to do that for you?" Like, you know? And she's like, "No, no, no. I'm just, you know." And she put on these, you know, wedge sandals or whatever, and you know, it kind of covered up most of the imperfections. But I found out that I can't paint nails with. I can't do anything with my left hand. Essentially, the only thing I can do with my left hand is my phone. You know, and so. I'm all thumbs with my left hand.
You don't use the stranger every now and then?
I've tried it.
Okay.
It's like
I'm not good at the stranger.
No, I'm not good
at I'm more an Old Faithful kind of guy.
Okay. You ever see a fireman with one fireman and a fire hose? That's like me and the stranger. Okay. Like, you know.
I gotcha.
I just had to do a pedicure too, Case. I got to the point where I was like, all right, this is looking a little mangled. So.
And?
Well, so I'm pretty good at it for years. Like when I, you know, was first working or, you know, wasn't making very much money, I always did my own nails. So, yeah, I was okay with it. It doesn't look like a 4-year-old painted on my toes.
Are you comfortable, Kathy, with shaving your own ass or what?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I shave my ass and it's hard sometimes.
I have made an effort and I'm twirling a drumstick right now.
Okay.
And I've always been able, I can do some twirls with my left hand, certain kinds. But there's one in particular that I can't do, and it's the between the fingers twirl.
Seems like it would be the easiest.
Right, exactly. And so I've been working on that. That's been my thing to work on, and I'm getting better at it.
All right. And so can you do both hands?
I didn't decide it. Yeah, but the left one goes a lot slower than the other one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's a thing I'm like, you know what? I got extra time on my hands.
I did
I'm
it.
Gonna finally
I'm doing it.
And it's you know, I've been playing drums since I was a kid and been twirling drumsticks since I was a kid. And I never really took the time to stop and just do, you know, yes, it's frustrating, but you just have to do it and do it and do it until you get it. And it took the pandemic for me to eventually decide I'm going to learn how to do this.
Can we consider it a success then, the pandemic?
Yes.
In some instances, yes.
All right, Steve, I know you're kidding about the shaving of the ass, but I'm curious about people who go for regular wax treatments. And
that's a good question because you know, that's a critical thing.
I've heard through the grapevine that home wax kits are on the uptick, buying them. Yeah. You know, and so people are doing that type of thing from home. So, Kath, in an indelicate way, I'm going to ask you, have you had to do something like that?
Well, so I actually don't get waxed. I have extremely sensitive skin, so I don't ever get waxed. So I'm used to doing it myself, but I was actually just talking to a friend of mine who said she feels like Chewbacca, and yeah, she's doing it at home.
Let me ask you, and I want to ask this as delicately as possible. If one were to look down there, would one think they were watching the girl from The Ring?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Steve, you know that that would never happen.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
No. Yeah,
but I know sometimes, listen, in this workaday world when you're doing homeschooling and all that stuff, perhaps you let that go. I don't know. I've been grooming. I actually groomed myself the other day, Preston, there in the pubic region, and I butchered myself.
Yeah, it's and I do that every now and then too. In fact, almost every time I nick something.
It was crazy. It looked like I was trying to limbo under barbed wire. Mm. It was horrible.
Would you ever do the wax, the home wax? I know you did it for stunt, Casey.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that.
Never just, again?
No.
It was too painful?
I wouldn't do that.
Imagine doing it to yourself.
Well, that's what I'm curious about.
Surprisingly, the back door wasn't the that was like I don't want to say enjoyable. It was the least painful.
Okay,
that's wispier hair, right? Than your pubic hair.
I just thought it would be more sensitive. The area I thought above the fupa, so to speak,
the pubis bone.
Yeah, that was the most painful. Okay, and that one bled.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a couple of texts coming in. Somebody says that they've. It turns out they're good at pottery making. They had
really?
Never. They had never tried that. Yeah,
I want to try that.
Why
was it the way I said that?
Yes, okay. I want to try that.
I want Let's some.
You sound like Mikey.
No, oh.
I want to try it.
You will try it.
I was thinking Elf. What's a candygram? I want one.
Okay. Yeah.
I've done, so my planters, you know, normally you can go to, you know, a garden center and you buy like the pre-done ones and you just drop them in your planters. Well, you know, since I was here and, yeah, I wanted to try it myself, I just bought all the flowers that I wanted and I put them all together myself and I'm like obsessed with it. I go to the window every morning and I look at my masterpiece.
Look at my flowers. It's all about the activities and keeping yourself busy, girls. By the way, that's not the girl from The Ring between my legs.
My son Carter has taken on, you know, horticulture as well. We just harvested some lettuce day before yesterday.
The crap that your son has done between the jellies and jams. Uh-huh. What else did he do? Cakes.
And
gardening.
Now he's doing the gardening.
Pickling.
Pickling on top of the
Parker's learned the art of sleeping in the hallway.
Yep, he knows how to do that. He's got that down pat.
He is alive, right?
Turns out he was alive when I fell on him the other day. Let's see. What else have come
the
in?
The art of sleeping through a suplex.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da. It says, I have learned that I can actually run more than 1 minute at a time. I still hate running, but I keep doing it because I actually benefit from the runs by losing weight.
Dude, I started running 2 weeks ago at my girlfriend's request. And
run away!
No, we're doing it together.
How are
you? It's always good to have a partner.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, she definitely motivates me to do it. But I hate it. I can't stand running.
I hate running. I love hiking.
Me
I
too.
Hate running.
It's
okay to hate running.
And it gets your heart rate up. I totally understand the benefits for it. And people that take to it love it, especially like if they're starting to use it as a way to mean
hike at a good clip.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like maybe even trail running or something.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that even over the it's sort of like a parkour kind of hiking
thing. I don't know how people aren't breaking their ankles doing that trail running.
Yeah. Kathy, I'm a superstar.
I never liked running with people though. I don't know what it is.
Do you like running after people?
Don't like that either. Never really cared. Well, when I was a kid playing capture, that was fun. But I like to run at my pace.
Yeah.
And I felt like if I was running with somebody, I'm either slowing them up or I'm speeding myself up.
I wouldn't want to run with others as well. That's a solitary sport as far as in my preference.
Don't you feel compelled a little bit at some point to sort of talk with the person?
Yep.
I guess.
And that's annoying.
I've never run with anybody.
I've run with a few people when they've asked me to go because I can, you know, I can pick it up. I can do it. Yeah. I can do it.
It's good motivation.
But I don't like it.
When I'm by myself, I'm not motivated enough to keep running. I mean, like, I'm just, you know what?
You're eating ice cream.
Yes, and it's hard to run with an ice cream cone.
No, it
Nick,
isn't.
I still run.
My Sunday's spilling all over the place.
Nick, I still run a lot, but I hate it. I don't like it at all. Like, I'm not a runner that actually enjoys it. Every time I have to go, I'm like, I hate this, but I'm going to feel better afterwards.
If you could affix something to it that you enjoy, do you wear earbuds? What do you do? You listening to music as you run, obviously?
I do. I usually listen to music. If I run with somebody, I'm hoping that they're a better runner than me and they can do all the talking because I can't necessarily talk while I'm running. But then I'll have, like, good days. Like, just the other day, I ran for 40 minutes. Like, I haven't done that in a while, and I felt good. Like, I could have kept going. I just happened to reach my house at that point.
I always felt like, you know, with the three, like running, swimming, and biking, that I always felt the most accomplished after a run, even if it was like, look, all right, but I can cycle for hours, right?
Yes.
I could swim for, you know, I usually swam at most for about an hour, 15 minutes, but running 30 minutes, and even, you know, just 30 minutes, that was the most rewarded I felt at the end.
I haven't been running in a while. There was a stretch where I was doing it, and where I felt motivated, Nick, was, you know, and at first you run not very far, and you're like, okay, I'm done.
Yes.
You know, but the next time you do it, you can go just a little bit farther.
A little bit.
The next time after that, a little bit farther. And so that, I found that motivating, being able to get to this point and having a couple of points in my mind, man, if I can make it there, then I've progressed.
You so can make it anywhere.
And then I was able to continue to motivate myself to do it. So I try to set goals, you know?
Yeah, that's good. And that's a great way to do it. We've been, you know, we take walks, and so we get to a certain point on the walk and then run from there and then run a little bit further or whatever. But there have been times where we've taken a walk and gotten to that point. We're like, are we still doing the running thing at the end? but that's where having a partner with you is like, yep, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it tonight.
I can honestly, if you want to get out and you're looking for a hybrid that, you know, that'll give you that sort of exercise, if you do the Wissahickon Trail,
yeah,
and there are points at that. So there's one part there. It's a part of the trail that's a little bit more gravelly and paved. And there's another part that's pretty raw where you're going up and down, and I mean, it is different terrain. It's beautiful. You're running along the creek. It's wonderful, and you can go for miles.
Yeah, there's so
and
many.
That's
great,
what I do.
So many great trails in our area. Casey, do you enjoy biking?
Like, I do.
Okay, so it's a pleasurable activity for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so the other part of it is, like running, even like you know, good runners, calf. Like you ran for 40 minutes. You know, you're not even going that far, but like cycling in 40 minutes,
you can haul ass.
I can haul ass and I can go far and I can see more, right? Like,
I can see my house.
See, yeah, but like, I mean,
getting as much of a workout as you would be in a run in 40 minutes?
Well, it depends on how fast you're going. If I'm going at 9 miles per hour, no.
Right.
But if I'm going like 15 to 20, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
What about you at home with the you got the stationary bike and you have to pull it out of your ass, you said.
It's pretty cool. My butt has gotten used to the
you have a butt blister, as they say.
The saddle. It's just it pushes on your taint.
It honestly, there's got to be a better design. And I've found my thing. It is the hiking, and that's always what it's going to be. But occasionally I do like to ride a bike, and man, that seat is always a goddamn issue.
And they don't create bigger seats, like
how come they've been innovations?
They do. They have bigger seats, but you know, like believe it or not, that the seat design is pretty good.
The old style seat, the way it used to be. Remember, Preston, that it was sort of more like a platform as opposed to this thin thing that goes right up your butthole.
Yeah. They still have those, just not on like the types of bikes that you're doing.
Right,
you know, 20 to 50 mile bike rides.
Yeah, just
why not?
You can do that.
Get bike shorts, and you know it takes a little bit.
Let's make a push for old-style bike seats, Preston.
Well, you're pretty good at the penny farthing. You could just do that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, and you can chant and sing the whole time.
Penny farthing. No,
good days, huh?
But I've gotten to where I enjoy it because it's not a Peloton, it's Nordic Track. But anyhow, I can take a bike ride through Seoul, Korea, or through, somewhere in Norway or Turkey.
Because they have the videos.
And you go with the instructor on this ride, and they're pointing out historical things, and they're like, all right, that I'm on board with.
What if at some point you actually get to visit Seoul, Korea, and somebody turns to you and goes, Preston?
Preston?
Oh, my God!
What are you doing
here? I was really there!
Yeah.
But, like, Kat...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
Nope,
way more
because
important.
I'm going to switch gears. Go ahead.
But, Kath, like, so Chuck and I, we rode to Stone Harbor the other day, and then he had told me that he'd never really gone to Cape May. So, like, this weekend, we're going to go to, you know, I'm going to show them all through Cape May. And
on your tricycles?
No. We have hybrid bikes.
Right.
You know, you can either do a road bike or I prefer the hybrid. But, you know, I'm going to show them all through Cape May into the villas. We're going to go to the Cape May Ferry. And, like, so you can see way more. And that's the aspect of cycling that I like.
By the way, the tricycle comment was not a joke.
They both have tricycles.
And Casey both have tricycles.
Well, his is way cooler. I'm currently refurbing mine.
Now, I was busting balls because they're riding tricycles. But I found out a little bit more about them. It's what they're going to do with them that I'm like, okay, this I can see. Because Chuck, Kathy, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Chuck is putting on the front of his longhorns like you would see on a Texas oil, you know, an oil baron's caddy. You know, so he's putting those on. I'm like, okay.
They're on there now.
Now I get it.
It's ridiculous. It looks amazing. And that's saw it and I go, okay, well, now challenge accepted.
It's tough to top that.
It is. It is. But, and I won't be able to, you know, that's, if I did anything like that, it would just be copycatting. So yeah. I got to do my own thing. So
why don't you get like a hang glider canopy and put it on top?
No, you know what? I'm going to outfit mine with some badass lights and stuff. But right now I redid my rims. I was going to buy new rims and then I ended up just getting some Rust-Oleum like metallic spray paint.
Speaking of modes of transportation, manual modes of transportation, my son not that long ago got a longboard. And so I was like, okay.
You going to try it?
I'm game. I'll go out and give it a shot. It is so much fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I rode through the neighborhood on it. We got some pretty steep hills in my neighborhood.
Really?
A little scary at first, but way cooler than your standard skateboard because I'm not going to be doing, you know, what are some of the tricks?
You're going to do some ollies, some kickflips.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to do
like
ollies or gleam the cube or no hot curls. Well, I don't know. Maybe a hot Carl or a Dizzy Gillespie. But that was pretty cool. I'm like, okay, I might have to get a longboard.
Were you wearing any sort of a helmet or anything?
I was wearing a helmet.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. You kidding me? I was prepared to hurt myself.
Yes.
I thought for sure that I would.
Because
the
time you don't think you will is when you will.
But I wasn't wearing, you know, wrist or knee or elbows. The main accidents or wrist injuries from stuff like that.
Oh, so. Man, just a road rash. Yeah. I would definitely wear knee pads, I think, just because...
you can see yourself going down
on
your knees?
Oh, no doubt.
He likes to give...
I like to go down on my knees. Yes.
That's really what it's about. Yep. Hey, man, that was great. I don't know how you stayed down there so long. But his knee pads.
I talked about getting another one, and Carter was like, well, make sure you get a motorized one.
They do have those.
And he's like, because going up the hills is a pain in the ass. And I was like, I always think of it as almost like an exercise type of thing. But, you know, you're going up and down hills and you know, you're not going to be, to be more consistent, running, obviously, or biking would be more of an exercise.
But
I guess they have ones that are powered.
Yeah. I'm looking at a couple of them. So the longboard has four wheels, Preston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks it's like a skateboard, but a lot longer.
Okay.
Yeah. And you sort of power it with like basically a joystick.
Marissa just came in and showed some road rash. What is that from?
No.
Hold on a second.
I went rollerblading the other day up and down Market Street, and then a SEPTA bus was coming.
Whoa.
And no brakes on those.
And there's no brakes.
What would you do? Did you try to spin or?
I was really good. I was really good at like riding through the intersection and just like going and like taking my momentum. But this time I didn't know the SEPTA bus was turning and I was going straight. So I decided to like swing really fast and I thought I could just like make like a big turn and ride it out. No, I crashed and burned.
Your boyfriend is a world-class inline skater.
Yes.
What did he have to say about that?
He laughed.
Yeah.
Of course. You guys are meant for each other.
Yeah.
Personal injury is the highlight of your lives.
Yeah. But so I've not looked into the motorized longboard and how much they cost, but that might
I'm looking at a few of those things.
Steve, my neighbor, by the way, because you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that it's like a giant wheel and basically a skateboard all around it.
The one wheel.
Yeah, the one wheel. My neighbor has one, and it looks really cool.
Is it easy to ride, or is it a death trap?
Well, for me and you, it might be more of a death trap.
What about
trap,
a car, four wheels, something you can
sit
in?
Yeah.
Do they really cost $1,000?
We're looking at one for $950.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Because listen, when the hoverboards first came out, they were like $600.
Were they really?
Yes, they were.
Wow.
Yeah, they were not cheap, man. So, and this, the one board thing, or the one wheel, is that made for off-roading stuff?
Yes. Okay. You can do that as well.
Okay.
And the real trick, I understand, I was watching some videos on it when I was doing my due diligence and researching them, is to be riding along and get it up on a curb. Is to go from the actual street to the sidewalk.
Nick also found an all-terrain skateboard of sorts.
It's motorized as well.
Jesus, it's $2,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty badass. It looks
awesome. Look at that thing.
Taking a lot of different places and be out in nature with it, but that's a lot of money to spend.
The funny thing would be, like, I'd buy that and then I go, oh, yeah, I don't have anywhere to ride this. You know what I mean? Like, I got to get that. All right, now what do I do with it?
And then you always have to remember you in the garage pulling the thing out of a box and going, why did I buy this?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because that's invariably going to happen unless you just get totally seduced into it and it becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Why did I get this?
Yeah.
Well, I got my electric scooter. I got a Segway electric scooter.
Are you using it?
I'm using it all the time.
All the time?
All the time.
What's your favorite toy down the beach? Like something like that. Like, I know you want to get a golf cart at some point.
Yeah.
But...
No, actually, I don't know if I would ever get a golf cart.
Oh, I thought that you were aspiring to it.
All right.
But the more I look at it, I'm like, well, then I would feel like I would have to drive it all the time.
Yeah.
And I really don't need to. Not when I have a tricycle.
Definitively, what is Case, with that scooter, all of those things, what is the most fun and the safest?
Well, the scooter that I have is, I think, it's fun and safe. I wouldn't feel safe. I feel like I need the handlebar.
And you book along it. What's the speed? What's the speed you book along at?
Well, I need somebody to ride alongside me because it says I'm going 25. I don't know if I'm actually going 25 or not.
All right.
You know?
Have you tried to jump anything in it?
No, I won't do that. No. And the reason I like it down the shore is because it's flat. The ground is paved properly. It's not like a very, very bumpy ride. That's why, like, you know, the idea of a longboard down there would be perfect.
My logical assumption, I think an accurate assumption, is that I will become a quadriplegic on whatever I use. So it's got to be absolutely tested and as safe as possible.
Now, you don't have the Vespa down the shore, right?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, it's parked at my cousin's house, though.
Wait, given your druthers taking the Vespa or the tricycle, what would you do?
Oh, man. Well,
it depends on where you're going.
It depends on how far I'm going.
Yeah, if you're going to a biker rally, you got to take the tricycle.
You got to take the trike.
Okay. Listen, this has been fun, but our guest is on the line. We only have a few minutes with him. He's very, very busy. He is promoting his latest film, which comes out today on demand everywhere, and it's called The King of Staten Island. And it's in a nutshell, it's Pete Davidson's story.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and okay. He's one of the co-writers as well, and producers, Pete Davidson.
And we're very appreciative of this gentleman, not only of his body of work, but the charitable contributions that he's done for the Camp Out for Hunger, and just been a good friend over the years. Please welcome Mr. Judd Apatow to the show. Judd, good morning, sir.
It's good to finally be back.
Yes, good to have you back, man. Has quarantine been treating you okay?
Oh my gosh, I think me and my family, it's been too long. We're heading into month four together.
Yeah.
And we're like four weird roommates. We're drinking a lot of White Claw. We're like 5 minutes from all doing mushrooms together. The lines are blurred.
Do you find yourself understanding how prison riots erupt at this point?
I just don't think they realize that they would ever have to spend this much time with their dad. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a nightmare they cannot believe. That they thought, like, you know, we're young women, we could leave and start our lives. And it's like, no, you can't start your life. We're going to hang out here with dad and watch 90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, my God,
my
wife's stuck on that. But listen, we only have a few. We go on and on about 90 Day Fiancé. But listen, one of your daughters is in The King of Staten Island, correct?
Yes, my daughter Maude is in the movie, and I mean, yes, and she's, you know, she's on that TV show Euphoria. She's working now, and
that's great.
Now I just try not to screw her up.
No, she's really, I mean, she's really good. I watched it last night, really enjoyed it, Judd. It's got that thing that you do so well. It's just engaging, and there are a number of revelations in the movie. We all love Bill Burr, but he is really damn good in this movie, and as
shockingly
good, and he rocks a mustache like nobody's business.
He's a sensitive actor as well. Who knew the guy who yelled at Philadelphia was so sensitive?
No, he is great. But as Preston said, it is basically Pete Davidson's story. You'd worked with him on Trainwreck, and did this idea to work with Pete go all the way back to that point?
Yeah, after Trainwreck, I mean, I had a sense, like, I think this is going to be a very successful person that people want to watch. And I did say, let's try to write something. And it took us about 3 or 4 years to really get this going. And at first, we were writing something kind of silly. But then slowly, you start talking and going, should we write about the real stuff? You know, like, should we go all the way?
Yeah.
And he was very brave about it. And I think the movie's very funny, but it's very personal and moving. And it's exciting to get it out there.
He's always been, I feel like a candid person since he's arrived on the scene in SNL. And listen, Judd, I know that you're a huge fan of stand-up comedy, and I couldn't help but notice a ton of different stand-up comedians in the movie last night. In fact, we're friends with Rich Voss. I had to text him saying, I've loved seeing you in the movie, but also Liza Traeger. Keith Robinson. I'm like, I know that guy. That's
Bonnie McFarlane.
Keith Robinson's a Philly guy. Obviously, Bill Burr. And then Carly Aquilino. You just, what is it about stand-up comedians that make them such decent actors?
I don't know. I think that they just are generally really smart and very in tune with how they're feeling. They're very comfortable with just being in front of people or on stage. Yeah, we have Ricky Velez is also a great comic who plays with one of his best friends. Derek Gaines is a comic who plays the guy who does this Fight Club night with him.
That is great. It's great.
It's packed. The comics and the great Lynn Coplitz plays Marissa Tomei's sister. So it's a
song. I have to ask. Okay. I knew I knew who that was.
I have to ask on that thing, so they're not to give too much of the movie away because there's so much that's really good and needs to be revealed to you as you watch it, but there is sort of a Fight Club thing that occurs over tips. Is that predicated on anything that actually happened? It seems so outlandish. I was actually wondering if it had any basis in reality.
Well, it's a very Staten Island thing to do, which is at the end of the night when Pete was a busboy, the owner used to make them do Fight Club, just fight for their tips. And they would put on these Hulk hands and just beat the hell out of them.
So that's real. Dear
that
God.
Is real.
You know, it's funny with Pete because I've liked him, and then there's been times where it's like, gee, it seems like he's kind of going off the deep end, but I always sort of rooting for him. And I have to say, and this is a compliment to you and to him and the whole cast of the movie, I have a better understanding of where he's coming from because obviously so much of it is personal. You know, the death of his own father as a firefighter during 9/11, you know, it's obviously a huge point of this. And that really can send anybody off, you know, something like that into a spiral. But he seems to be in a really good place and very proud of this project.
Yeah, I think he's doing great. And, you know, he's been through something that most people can't even imagine. It's just so sad. And it's connected to a national tragedy. So it's very hard to move on from.
Right.
Because people talk about it constantly. And I think it's a very specific type of grief, but he's so sweet and so funny. He's a really great, generous guy, and I'm glad that people are getting to know what he's really like.
You know, another breakout is this. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing your name, but Belle Powley.
Oh yeah,
yes. Belle Powley plays the love interest, and she is on that show, The Morning Show. She's got the best Staten Island accent, and she's from London. So
that's
really
crazy.
Weird.
It's amazing because I'm from New York. I know obviously you are as well. And Staten Island to me was always like, oh man, we're going through Staten Island now. Yeah, traffic always bogs down, and the whole spirit is captured. I had no idea because she was nailing the accent. It was tremendous.
Yeah, she is a genius. She's like literally. Gina said, we would laugh and be like, one day it's going to be so weird she was in this movie. People will laugh. You know, it's like a Brie Larson, you know, in Trainwreck. We always get one where we're like, yeah, they don't even know they shouldn't be here.
I love your movies because your movies are so many different kinds of movies in one. They're dramas and they're comedies. And I thought a really, really funny moment, and it looked like it was Pete Davidson's actual grandfather in the movie. Is that correct?
Yes, his grandfather who took care of him a lot when he was a kid and got him interested in movies, has this great moment where he just trashes colleges and just slams every college and lists the lunatic who went there. So he's like, Ted Bundy went to Temple. Bundy went to Temple.
It's really, really good. How long did that particular scene take to shoot?
I made him say like 300 different people. I there was a lot of a lot of colleges slammed, and he was so funny, and it was a real full circle moment for his grandfather to be in the movie and get such big laughs.
Outtakes are one of my favorite parts of what you do because you give the freedom to the actors to, you know, improv and have a good time with it, and you know, this is 40 just generated some great stuff. Are you planning to release some B-roll stuff from this?
I literally just was going over all the gag reels yesterday because obviously Bill Burr, you know, so much of what he did in the movie was improvised and things he wrote and thought of, and there's a lot of people who know how to do that. So there'll be something coming out pretty soon, but we're just
we're just thrilled that people can get it. It's on everything. I think it's like Apple and Amazon and whatever machine you have. If you scream, Siri, Alexa, play it.
Yeah.
It just comes up.
One last question
I have to ask you. Which of Pete Davidson's tattoos makes you say, why?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not a tattoo guy because I'm so hairy. Everyone would be a bearded lady. Yeah. Not really the guy that understands.
I got you. All right. Well, listen, everybody, make it a part of your weekend viewing. It is out now, The King of Staten Island. Judd, always really cool to talk to you. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Good
be well.
Luck with everything. Judd Apatow. Yeah. And The King of Staten Island. That's cool, man. All right. We do need to take a break, so we're going to do that thing, and we'll come back in just a moment. You know what? I got a case of beer because you've been so good to give to caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. I have a case of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. It's crowd-pleasing local favorite. Goes well with just about anything. It's refined malty sweetness combined with gentle, noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced for easy drinking. And don't forget, outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations. You can also order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at slyfoxbeer.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. The Rolling Stones. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Let's eat, shall we? Because the connoisseur's in the studio.
Ladies, it's time for the connoisseur. Leading into the weekend, everyone wants to know all about food.
Yes.
It's tiring to do that voice, you know?
I'm sure it is. You don't have to do it every time, Steve. I do like it when you
thank
do
you.
It.
Thank you.
If it's tough, I understand. Hey, I have a couple different directions we can go in. I have a few stories about, you know, restaurants and fast food places. And then I have some little-known facts about food in general.
All right.
I'm going to lead with a couple of the news stories.
Give us the ringers, yeah.
Those are time-sensitive. And, like, the fact that KFC has confirmed to multiple news outlets that they are replacing their long-standing menu item, potato wedges.
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh.
That's like one of the only...
No!
That's one of the only vegetables they have there. No, what? No, that's so one of the only things you like?
The only things I like from their menu. I think they're... Steve, I know that's your go-to for Halloween, right?
I love their... obviously, what they're known from, and happens to be in the name. I love their fried chicken, and I do too. Love the potato wedges.
Yeah, I prefer Popeye's fried chicken over KFC.
I wasn't
KFC.
Asking, man.
No,
oh,
I know.
No, Popeye's is great, absolutely, but I do love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
They're going to replace the potato wedges with their recently tested secret recipe fries.
Can't they have both?
KFC told the Thrillist, we can confirm KFC's secret recipe fries, tested last year, are rolling out nationally to replace wedges. I like the idea of secret recipe fries because the secret recipe is what makes the chicken taste so damn good.
That's what Carlin Sanders, years ago, that was his thing, the secret recipe.
He said, while we know, the release said, while we know that there are wedge lovers out there who may be disappointed, consumer response to our secret recipe fries during the test and the rollout has been overwhelmingly
all right.
positive.
All right, I want to be open-minded, but so. I have liked the wedges. So, but this is an interesting notion. Case, you're right, I'll leave my mind open to this. So
yeah, remember, that's the only thing I've ever had from there. I never had their chicken.
Really? You just had their wedges, potato
yeah,
wedges?
Precedent. Yeah, we talked about it a little while ago.
Okay.
Original or extra crispy?
Original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got it.
Nice and greasy and yeah. Mm. That's if you're going to go in with fried chicken. You got to go all in. All right. Here's another thing. And this one has to do with Arby's. And it's not necessarily about anything on their menu. They're not messing around when it comes to their bags. A social media user recently shared a video after making a discovery about the Arby's bags. Apparently on the bag, it's written and says that the Arby's roast beef sandwich bag can hold 25 pounds.
25 pounds?
Yes. Using a nearby weight, they were able to test the bag up to 20 pounds and found that it was able to hold that. This guy, Austin Bennett, shared footage of the discovery to TikTok, where he asked Arby's why their bags were so strong, and Arby's not surprisingly responded, because we have the meats. Now, while the bag's secret may have been revealed, Arby's name actually has a surprising history in its own.
I always thought it had something to do with roast beef, Arby's.
Exactly. Most people seem to believe that it's pronounced, you know, that the initials RB stand for roast beef, and therefore they just spelt it out phonetically.
Right, right, right.
That is not the case.
How about that?
According to the company history shared by Arby's, Forrest and Leroy Raffle had previously been in the restaurant equipment business before they got the idea to open a fast food restaurant to compete with the likes of McDonald's and KFC. And after sampling a roast beef offering from a Massachusetts sandwich shop one evening, they set to work perfecting the item before introducing it to their very location. They didn't settle on the name Arby's right away. According to the chain, the Raffles considered a name Big Tex, but another businessman in Ohio was already using that name. So they settled on Arby's, a play on the initials for Raffle Brothers.
Really?
Yes.
We'd never have gotten that.
Mm. And not RB Roast Beef.
We, I grew up with an Arby's just a few blocks away from where I lived, and you could see the Arby's sign from my bedroom window. It was a gigantic...
mother, come in here.
Cowboy's hat.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. How would it? Was it so bright it lit up the room?
Like
the Kenny Rogers restaurant in Seinfeld?
Not like that, but I mean, it was, you know, it definitely lit up. But I mean, even, you know, during the day you could see it. It was enormous. I wonder whatever happened to that thing.
To the sign or the restaurant?
I want to put it up in my backyard.
Yeah.
What is this? Well, it's from my childhood.
Here's a story about ice cream. Baskin-Robbins has revealed its flavor of the month for June. It is called Surprise Party. The colorful flavor features pink and blue ice cream.
Kentucky Fried Wedges.
Tastes like cake batter swirled with yellow ice cream that tastes like buttercream.
Hmm.
The flavor is only available until the end of June. Now, I brought this up because I saw the word cake in it.
Yeah.
We have a Dairy Queen not far from us. And we did an ice cream road trip, which sometimes means ice cream for dinner instead of regular dinner.
There's a place for that.
There is.
Yeah.
And we did that, and then we have dinner for dessert. Later on, you can get something to eat. You just grab something on your own. But at dinner time, ice cream. Mm-hmm. I love it when we do that. So we pulled up, and I hadn't been to DQ in a while, and I saw they had these thing called cake shakes. You familiar with cake shakes? They had a tiramisu cake shake. And I'm like, one, please.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So really?
They blend into the shake.
Tiramisu. You know,
cake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But it had the tiramisu flavor, but like a sponge cake. Tiramisu can be made with like ladyfingers, so maybe that's what they're putting in there.
Okay.
And I gave a full-on 100% thumbs up on the cake shake.
The great
thing. They also put some cake crumbles on the top, too.
Crumbles as well. All right. Yeah. And it says right here, Preston, low-cal.
Oh, no, it does not.
How do you eat it?
You drink it.
You drink it.
You can drink it because it's blended up enough to where it will go through the straw. It's very soft.
Eat that. Eat that.
Drink it.
Eat it.
But they, I guess they blend it up enough, Nick, or the cake is tender enough.
I don't like the concept of the like a regular sheet cake kind of, you know, yellow cake batter.
You don't like that?
Not an ice cream. No.
Okay.
Right. You got to try this though.
No, the tiramisu. I love tiramisu though. I would be down with that.
You're talking about the batter you don't like, but like if it were baked cake.
It'd be fine.
You'd be fine.
I'd be fine.
Because you like that Zaz ice cream, and they have
and that's
Black
really
Magic.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had come
Zaz
to...
Zaz is awesome.
I don't remember if I said this on the air or not, but I had come to, I think, and maybe I'll try it this weekend. I think I'm going to try and blend Cinnamon Toast Crunch and vanilla ice cream together and kind of make my own Blizzard.
You should.
Yeah.
May I recommend something?
Yeah.
Well, you can do it however you like. But if you want to be able to drink it, if you want
to... I want to have a Blizzard...
I want to rub it on my face.
I want to rub it on my... Call myself a what?
A bitch.
That's right. I want to be able to eat it with a spoon.
So fairly thick consistency.
It's going to have to... It's going to come out like a Blizzard then.
Right.
Most likely.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But you probably, since you're not using soft ice cream to start with...
Okay.
You are going to have to add a little bit of milk to it.
Okay. Just a tad. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
I have this amazing milkshake maker that just this wonderful human being gave me. They just gave it to me, this awesome person. That's you.
I gave that to you?
You did.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's old school with the...
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preston's memories.
Yeah.
It was like I was Casey, banging a...
Casey okay. just did the, like, the finger bang motion. Did I say that even?
Yeah, sure. Finger bang is fine.
Finger blast is what I meant to say. The finger blast motion when he goes...
Well, which is weird because it really kind of dangles down. It would be more like... Would that be... Would you think that I would need to use that or a regular blender to...
Either way, it's going to liquefy pretty good. I don't know. Try do a little trial and error. Yeah. Try both of them. Marissa?
Casey, I want to make this even easier for you. Mm-hmm. I was in Acme the other day, and I was in the frozen food section, and they now have Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored ice creams.
I don't want flavored.
They're not flavored. It literally has the cereal in it.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Well, there I
Your
go.
Your work has been done for you.
But you kind of wanted to do it yourself.
Well, after you do it once and you're like, that was good. And then the next time you're at Acme, you're like, it'd be easier to spy it.
Steve, I was thinking if I did that, would you put a caramel drizzle on it?
I would like to try it in its rawest cinnamon crunch version first. And then build from there if it needed it. I think I'm going to go purist because I don't want to dilute the original flavor. I love cinnamon crunch.
Okay.
And the ice cream would be great.
What's Jace want to say?
Jace, what do you need, honey?
Come on over. Be on the radio.
You don't have to whisper. What? Yes. Yes.
Kathy's sitting here on FaceTime. She's going, shh.
You can go ahead. You can play the iPad for a little bit longer.
Okay.
Get out.
Mommy, do you have the girl from The Ring between your legs?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You're lucky it's your birthday.
I know. I got away with that.
I can't talk now, honey.
It's cute, though. He misses you.
All right.
He misses on the air, mommy.
Now we're going to talk about beer. Brewers worldwide are making a stout beer called Black is Beautiful to support equality. And I don't... Let me see here. Marcus Baskerville, the founder of the head brewer of Weathered Souls Brewing Company in San Antonio, Texas, started the initiative. It is a stout beer of the same name to raise awareness around... the injustices of black people and people of color as they face daily to help raise money for organizations that support them. So more craft beers. I don't know if this is... Yeah, it says brewers from across the globe are joining in on it to do it. So I don't have any names of any beers that are being served up. But you're seeing all kinds of... What was a beer that I saw the other day that had an interesting name to it? Oh, it was Florida Man. Somebody said
a
Florida Man
beer.
Hold on. Marissa's making a gesture. What was that?
I was trying to tell you that it was Cigar City who makes that out of Florida.
Okay. So they can do that.
Yes. Didn't get my cigar. I was trying to smoke a cigar.
I didn't get your cigar. No, what do you mean?
I was doing a cigar.
Oh, just
hand
now,
motion.
The hand gesture?
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
This is not. That's
I know,
not a cigar.
And then I tried to curl the.
That's Casey's penis. Yeah.
Same difference.
Hey, wait a second.
You like a stout beer?
I do. Yeah. I like stouts and porters. Which is weird because I don't like IPAs. IPAs, I mean, the stouts and porters have a very strong flavor.
Right.
And so do IPAs, but I just don't like that bitterness of IPAs.
Steve, you're not a drinker, but you like Guinness, right? Like if you were to taste the beer?
I certainly appreciate, it's dealing. Actually, when I had it at its purest, was literally out of the testing tap at the Guinness factory.
That's a little slice of heaven right there.
Right. And so to me, it really had a milkshakey.
Yeah, it's thick.
Taste to it, yeah.
But the naming of a beer, it has so much to do with the success of a beer as well.
It can.
Yeah.
At least initially for people to try it in the first place.
I mean, look at what 2SP did with their Wawa Coffee Stout. And, their stout has always been really good, but when they named it Wawa, it was like, boom, sold out.
Yep.
Like that.
If you get the right name and then you have the right... Really good flavor to back it up. You're going to have a successful beer, no question. So they are making a Black is Beautiful beer around. But I don't know where you can get it locally. We'll stick with the cocktails for a moment because Jack Daniel's has released three new canned cocktails. They have a line of them, and they will come in three flavors. Whiskey and cola, whiskey and seltzer, and whiskey, honey, and lemonade.
Have you ever had anything like that? The canned cocktails? And the,
I have.
What do you think of them?
They're not my go-to, but I was in Florida a few years ago visiting my mom and sister,
And I wasn't going to go out and buy everything I needed to make a margarita because I would have ended up leaving most of it there and they don't really drink. So I went out and I bought some of the margarita cans.
Okay.
And they're a little too sweet.
Yeah.
But they got the job done. So
yeah, I would agree with you, Press, on
that's
that.
That's about it, yeah.
If you'd like to know anything about canned cocktails, I could chime in here because I've been tasting and testing some of them. But the margarita ones are, see, I'm picky with my margaritas. So, like, I like them freshly made and I like them to be skinny without a lot of mixes and all that kind of stuff. But I tried a spiked tequila. It was like grapefruit and tequila in a can. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But they have ones, they're called, so I don't like the Truly or the, what's the other one?
White Claw.
Yeah, I don't love them, but I found ones called High Noons. I don't know if I told you guys about this, if we talked about it before or not, but it's basically just vodka and then a flavored seltzer mixed with it. Those are pretty good.
Kathy, okay. What was the one that you texted me the other night?
That was the that was the tequila and grapefruit, Nick.
Okay, so that was Monday night's drink?
That was Tuesday night's
Tuesday night's, all right, yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
I stopped drinking during the week, and it lasted on Monday.
Right. You made it through Monday. And
I made it through Monday.
Tuesday.
Jackie Bamman's going to send me a text. He worries about you, Kathy.
Am I drinking?
Yeah.
And Kathy's mom worries about my drinking, I think, right? Doesn't she?
Well, that was a long time ago when you were like a little depressed and down, and my mom said, well, tell him he needs to stop drinking.
No, that's the best time to drink.
Right? Isn't that the reason for drinking?
Doctors recommend.
Marissa?
I'm not worried about anyone's drinking, and I have one more for you to try, Kathy. Vizzy is a new seltzer, and they have one that is black cherry and lime, I think, and it tastes like a Clearly Canadian. Do you remember that drink from the 90s?
Oh my God, yes. I used to love those.
Yes, me too. And I had it, and like my eyes lit up, and it tasted like the 90s again.
Okay. Have you had the High Noons? I think you would like that too.
They're really good. I was actually going to recommend them to you, and then you got it before I did. So
we can talk about this. They're pretty expensive. They're not cheap.
They are. Yeah, right. They're like $5 a can.
Well, I have a couple of other... I have two Wendy's stories.
Let us have them.
So these are...
I was at the Wendy's on Ridge, by the Wendy's at Ridge, over in Roxborough the other day. They were hopping.
Yeah. But not open indoors yet, right? Just drive-thru still?
Yeah, just the drive-thru.
Okay.
Well, they and Pringles have teamed up to come up with Baconator chips.
Baconator chips. Now, I tend to always be skeptical on the chip replication ability, but they're getting better and better and better at it. So I might venture into this territory.
The Baconator from Wendy's consists of a half-pound beef burger, American cheese, 6 pieces of Applewood smoked bacon, ketchup, and mayo.
Yeah.
So you'll have to decide if the limited edition Pringles flavor is worth tasting. They've been spotted at some grocery store chains that operate throughout Wisconsin.
You know who did hers? Obviously, we love hers.
Yeah.
Their version of the Primo Italian hoagie, their chips, is excellent.
They had one that, because we had samples here, they had this like spicy ranch one that I tried the other day. Dude, on point. I like spicy stuff, so I don't know if you... Are you a spicy guy or no?
Your voice is so sexy. I'm just trying to... I didn't even hear what you said.
It's gotten worse.
I just wanted to drop pants and go at it.
It's gotten worse since the show's been on.
Yeah, but I totally feel fine.
Okay.
I'm aces, bro.
Excellent, man. No
aces
sad, bro.
Aces and super sexy.
No sad, bro. Friday. The last thing is, no, it's just, you can turn it off.
Okay.
Knock it off!
You can turn it off because I'm still talking about Wendy's. Their beef shortage is almost over. The company said in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing on Monday that at this point in time, beef supply has returned to near normal levels across the Wendy's system. Earlier last month, the chain was suffering from spot shortages as beef suppliers throughout the U.S. temporarily shuttered plants because workers had fallen ill. One analyst estimated in May nearly 1 in 5 of Wendy's restaurants were out of beef. Around 1,000 or 18% of Wendy's 5,500 U.S. restaurants were not serving any hamburgers or other meat-based items. Wendy's was more exposed to the shortage sparked by the coronavirus pandemic because of its reliance on fresh beef compared with its competitors. So that's the thing about Wendy's. They
use the fresh beef.
They don't have frozen beef.
I'm good with the powdered beef.
Okay. The disruption inspired Wendy's to shift advertising efforts away from its red meat products and toward chicken. Wendy's also removed some items from its digital platforms in areas where
They were unavailable and to help manage customers' expectations.
It's a genocide taking place.
That menu change had an impact on its digital business, the company said in filing. But they've gotten more beef now.
Yes.
So they are able to get a little bit closer. And then one last thing. I saw this, and it's from our friends at Dunkin'. They plan to add as many as 25,000 workers to their payroll in the coming months.
That's awesome.
They're looking to hire counter workers and managers to work at its franchises, 90% of which have remained open even as much as the country was shut down. There were 9,630 Dunkin' outlets in the U.S. as of the end of last year.
That's crazy.
That's way more than I thought there
were. I have one right near me, and it runs like a top. The people inside, super nice. Well, it's been a while since I've been inside. It's supposed to have been drive through, but always pleasant. And, yeah, they do it right.
The one near me has been open on the inside, and they have, but they've had the doors open, which has been nice. So, and then you can just come right inside. They'll serve you at the vestibule. The app, as we've mentioned many times.
Works like a charm, right?
Really easy to order online or through the app, and then they'll have it waiting for you. It's, yeah, I mean, they're a sponsor of the show, but they are so easy. It's so convenient.
By the way, to support its hiring spree, the chain is launching its first national advertising campaign aimed at recruitment.
Oh.
So
love
yeah.
it.
That's cool.
Yep. So they're going to be hiring a lot.
Yes. Awesome.
And there you go.
That's all.
Yep. That's all that I got. And I thought it'd be worth sharing before we head into the weekend. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a second. And when we return, some more stories of the Bizarre File. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's do some of them B-File stories.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with one from the world of cryptocurrency. I don't really fully understand how this works, but
no one does.
I'm going to pass this along anyway. Imagine sending $133 to a friend and then being charged $2.5 million in a fee.
Oh, man, that's a heavy fee.
That seems to be the case for a cryptocurrency user who paid $2.5 million transaction fee during a trade on Wednesday morning using Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency similar to Bitcoin, but with some key differences. According to transaction details, which are publicly available, the mistake may have been in setting the price that the trader was willing to pay to have their transaction posted to the Ethereum blockchain, a permanent record of transactions. In Ethereum, like Bitcoin, users may attach a fee to their transactions to incentivize a miner, and that's not an underage person, it's someone who mines for this stuff, to include their transaction in the next block of data. Normally, this fee is very low compared to the astronomical amounts that can be sent over the blockchain. Oftentimes, wallet calculators are used to inform traders what a good fee is so they don't overpay. In this case, however, it looks like the user set a normal limit of what's called gas, representing the computational effort.
Jesus,
and here's where I'm
Christ,
lost
okay.
completely. But set the price of gas exorbitantly. 5 ETH per unit of gas. The transaction used up all of the 21,000 gas limit, which amounted to roughly 10,668 ETH in fees, or roughly $2.5 million going to the miner. In other words, it was a trade in either valued at $133 that came attached with a $2.5 million transaction fee. It's currently unknown if the transaction was an accident or not.
That seems bizarre. What I understand of it seemed to have bizarreness attached to it.
I don't really get it,
but
I know that somebody made a boo-boo, and it's worth a lot of money. A distillery in Australia was able to make things right after accidentally selling 9 bottles that were labeled SS Casino Gin that were actually filled with hand sanitizer.
Oh, no.
The Apollo Bay Distillery in Victoria said the bottles were sold over the weekend at the Great Ocean Road Brew House in Apollo Bay, and they've been able to recover them all. A spokesman said the bottles were identifiable by a lack of seal or shrink wrapping.
And the dead bodies next to them.
The recall was issued Monday, and the distillery said Wednesday that all 9 bottles were recovered. Because some, like I have a bottle over here of hand sanitizer that is not gel-like. It's just flat-out liquid.
Right. And you would not be able to tell.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
Yep. Until
you tasted it, probably. And then that's about it. The removal of a massive beehive is making the rounds on the internet. David Glover with Bee Rescue and Removal made the removal at a historic house set to be remodeled in Whiteville, Tennessee. The heat map of the home looked promising, but the actual removal is what led to the massive discovery. Glover said, this is a biggie. It's a really big one. He removed about 30 feet of combs from the home. He said that's 30 linear feet plus the 15 inches between the studs. All the bees, including the queen, were safely taken to a local farm. He said, as we were finishing up the removal, another swarm of bees moved in, and we were trying to move it into the house. Glover said, so we were able to capture the second queen.
30 feet long.
In the swarm. So we left with two complete colonies of bees as well.
So clearly the thing to do is if you are able to get the queen with you, the rest will follow.
I guess so, yeah. Right. How, out of the thousands or hundreds even, do you track down the one queen?
Interviews.
Don't know.
Interviews. I guess that's the way to do it.
I don't know how they do it. I will have to look that up sometime. Glover did point out that it is important to understand how crucial bees are to the environment.
They look a little different, the queens. They're slightly bigger.
But you've got
wings.
Thousands of bees.
Yeah, it takes effort and time. It's like practicing the drums.
Yeah, I guess so. Selling looted goods on Facebook. It's happening right now with several videos and photos sent to the evidence, the Chicago police. These people are stupid enough to put their hauls on Facebook.
Freshly looted.
Yes. One woman posted a Facebook Live video publicly on Sunday. Got about 6,600 views and 41 shares. And it showed looting at a strip mall and a van filled to the brim. In a second public Facebook Live video posted days later, a woman stands behind the videos and photos posted on her page, admitting out loud she had looted. She called out people. She called out the people that were tagging the police in the video as well.
Freshly stolen, and I'm ready to pass the savings on to you.
And defended her selling of the looted clothing and liquor, referring to it as stolen and saying that it wasn't the first time. She said, I don't give an F about this S. I upload stolen S365 a year. This ain't the effing first time I've done this. Okay, just tell everybody about it.
Good luck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have fun with that. All right, and here's a follow-up story. I had this a little while back, and an Idaho man broke his 150th Guinness World Record by drinking an entire liter of lime juice in 17.29 seconds.
Which seemed torturous.
Actually, it was earlier in the week that he did the lemon juice. He did that in 21.8 seconds, so he figured he'd do lime juice to follow that up.
So
with.
Does this guy piss butane? I don't know how you could. I mean, let's talk about acidic.
He says now he is done with drinking records for a while.
And talking.
Yeah.
There's got to be a rule where you can't throw it up, like, within a certain amount of time.
Absolutely. I believe there might be, yeah. So, anyhow. And I tell you what, we're going to wrap it
right. All right.
That's what I got.
That was damn good, though.
The bizarre file. Thank you, sir, for you. And I got some other stories coming up in the form of music news. We will also see if you've been paying close attention this morning. We'll have a lesson question, and we'll get the trash on top of that, too. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll give away our Word of the Week prize in a little while. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I love it.
What was that? That's from a song. It's from Soul Man.
Is it?
The Blues Brothers, yeah.
Okay.
Don't you worry. Don't you fret. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm a soul man. I don't think we've had a sing-along yet today. So
we actually...
Did we have one? Oh, we sang Happy Birthday.
We did the Doobie Brothers yesterday.
And we did Doobie Brothers yesterday. And it's Steve's birthday today, so we sang Happy Birthday as well. I did do some Doobie Brother listening this morning. And it was very nice. So... I love to. I love when you forget. You're like, oh yeah,
That group has a ton of music catalog to go through.
Yeah.
And then you can spend some time heading down that path, you know? So
it's like rare you can go to a concert, you know, and then every song is a hit, like with a band like Loverboy, wherever you
Loverboy has more great songs than you know. You guys only know, you only know Working for the Weekend and that's it. But there's a lot of other songs that you just don't remember.
What would be their other?
When It's Over was a good one. The Kid Is Hot Tonight. Let's see. There was...
How about Loving Every Minute of It?
Nah, that's kind of, I mean, that was... No, don't play it. I hate that song.
No?
That was my wife and I. That was our wedding song.
And then there's... Turn Me Loose. Great song. Actually, it rocks pretty hard. So anyway, we're going to do today's lesson question. That was me on my lover boy soapbox.
You have to defend him, man.
I really did just do that. All right, so lesson question, and we are going to give away a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill dining gift card. Nick, you're going to have to bring a question forth for the audience, and let's see if we can get an answer. What do you want to go with today?
Let's go with this one. What was the name of the first woman to wear hot pants because you could see her, quote-unquote, coin slot?
All right. 215.
What was her name?
215-263-WMMR. Call now if you heard it and you know the answer, because we got the Carrabba's Italian Grill dining card for you on this end. And while you're calling in, we're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Horizon. You can book Horizon Services air conditioner tune-up now for just $59 and get up to a pound of refrigerant for free. Visit horizonservices.com. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, after 7 years of marriage, Kelly Clarkson and her husband manager Brandon Blackstock are splitting up. Clarkson and Blackstock released a statement saying their PR people made them release a statement saying they will always love each other.
Yay!
Phaedra Parks, who joined the cast of Marriage Boot Camp Hip Hop Edition, is revealing that she and her boyfriend Medina do not have sex. Since the show is called Marriage Boot Camp and they focus on sexual issues, Parks will reportedly spend most of the time playing foosball. And finally, Kylie Jenner, quote, celebrated her inspirational father, Caitlyn Jenner, by taking her to a celebratory dinner at Nobu in Malibu. According to witnesses, Caitlyn was treated to the chef's table and actually ate the chef's table. And that's all the trash.
All right, let's see if we got somebody who knows the answer to this question. So the first woman to wear hot pants was named what? And I will go to Eric for the answer. Hey, Eric.
Yes, that would be Molly.
Yeah. Hang on just a minute, Eric. We're going to take care of you with a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill dining card. Carrabba's Italian Grill is open and serving the community with your favorite made-from-scratch Italian dishes through car-side carryout, delivery, and catering. You can order online today at Carrabba's.com. Time for music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah. All right. Brought to you by your local Dietz and Watson Real Philly Delis. They are open for takeout. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. Metallica will release a document of last year. I think it's supposed to be documentary. Of last year's S&M 2 concerts, in which the band performed alongside the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra as a box set this August. Lars Ulrich announced the release Wednesday night on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he actually surprised Long Island nurse and Metallica fan Tracy Bednar during the host's Healthcare Heroes segment. And Bednar told the host that she unwinds from her stressful job in which she treats children who have COVID-19 by listening to Metallica loudly on the radio. Some people work out their stress by cranking it up.
Absolutely.
Bednar was visibly shocked and delighted to see Ulrich, who had promised her the first signed copy of the S2M2 set.
They put out so much merch, so many collections.
Yep.
Every week. Every other day you're reporting on something they're releasing. And it's not just, like, it's usually an elaborate package.
The drummer also invited Bednar out to the next Metallica concert in her area, whenever that is, saying, I'm looking forward to meeting you and thanking you in person for everything that you do. So that's pretty
cool. That is very cool.
Yeah. Dashboard Confessional frontman Chris Caraba was involved in a motorcycle crash this past Saturday, and the singer took to social media to announce that he had sustained severe but non-life-threatening injuries and is currently recovering in the hospital. I saw a picture of him. He looked pretty messed up. He shared a photo of himself in the hospital online and said that he was determined to make a full recovery but had surgeries and months of rehab to come.
Jeez.
He added, I owe the amazing doctors, nurses, and medical team treating me my endless gratitude.
What? So what, he was completely banged up? Anything broken? Anything irrevocable?
I don't have the story on that, yeah. So, but he was, yeah, he was pretty beat up. Caraba then shifted the conversation to the ongoing Black Lives Matter protests that are happening worldwide, writing, I've not lost sight of the social issues at hand. And even in the condition I'm in, I find it important to state that I stand with Black Lives Matter. If you don't hear from me on the critical social issues, I trust that you will know where I stand. He also shared a statement thanking the safety gear that helped protect him in the crash, as well as his friends and family.
No problem.
He wrote, that's the gear responding to him. Yeah. He wrote to all reading this, I would like to say thank you for standing by me through recovery. This will be difficult physically, emotionally, and financially, and I'm grateful to have your support as I go through it. Past and present members of Breaking Benjamin, Crobot, and Candlebox, and other acts have united to record a cover of Temple of the Dog's 1991 classic Hunger Strike. So here's what's happening.
All right.
So I'm reading one word ahead before I say it, which is sure. kind of what you're supposed to do in broadcasting.
Right. Yep.
And so that's why I said Breaking Benjamin, because Crobot was the next word I saw. And then
that would be their ice cream. That should be their signature ice cream.
And then I said, what did I say next? I added something from a word ahead in the next one, too. So that's what's happening.
It was beautiful, though.
God, we're almost done for the week. The song is part of a cold guitarist, Nick Coyle's cold guitarist.
The band Cold? There's a band
called. We are cold! No, we're physically cold!
I guess so. I don't know.
What's his name?
It didn't reference him earlier.
Nick, is it Coldplay?
Nick Coyle.
No. There's a band called Cold, and he's the band. He's in that band.
There we go. Of course there is.
But it's not in boldface type, which is when a... Okay.
Yeah. Almost
when,
there.
When a band is first referenced, it will be in boldface, not coldface. Jesus Christ, I quit. F you people and everyone around here. That's me talking to myself out loud.
Yeah.
So, did you just snort?
I snorted, man. Yeah. I was right in the microphone. Sorry. Snort dort indeed.
Snort dort.
Hunger Strike.
The song is part of Cold guitarist Nick Coyle's Corona Session series, which features a rotating list of all-star musicians recording in quarantine. The track features Coyle and Crobot's Brandon Yeagley. I mainly brought it up because we got to know those guys at the Camp for Hunger.
We would be besties now, I'm sure.
Brandon's on vocals, ex-Breaking Benjamin members Aaron Fink on guitar, and Chad Zeliga on drums. Crobot's Chris Bishop on guitar, and Candlebox's Brian Quinn and Adam Curry on acoustic guitar and bass, respectively. The musicians specifically selected Hunger Strike not only because of its importance to the 1990s music scene and the impact it had on each of them as musicians, but because of the relevance it still has today. We have a clip of that?
Yes, we do.
All right, here we go. So far, off to a good start.
Yep.
That sounds good.
Well, I can feel on the powerless when my cup's already overfilled. Yeah. But it's on the table, the fire's cooking. And the fire.
I'm waiting to hear who's going to do that Chris Cornell.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Blood is on the table, the mouths are all choking. Long, long, long
I don't think we're going to get it. Yeah.
I don't mind.
actually, that would have been the Chris
Cornell
part.
The first part is Chris Cornell. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But the really...
I'm on hungry.
The
I'm
really,
going hungry.
All right, well, they got that out, and if you that sounds good to you, then you
If you like
it.
Music, then you'll love this.
That's right. You'll love that. A Los Angeles group called Sons of Silver will release its third EP titled Doomsday Noises on June 26th. The group has previewed the set with a couple of singles and a video, and the band features original Pearl Jam drummer Dave Cruzan, along with former Skillet guitarist Kevin Holland and ex-Candlebox bassist Adam Curry. We were just talking, he was in that
How
other
about
thing.
That, man? Oh, this guy is all over the place. Talk about a mover and a shaker during a time of pandemic.
How were you able to just scream like that with your voice being the way it is?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that's how his voice got like that.
Right. Singer Pete Agricultural Poulos and keyboardist Brina Kabler.
Oh, of course.
Agripoulos said about the EP's timely title, there's a lot of shouting going on in the world at the moment, and a lot of bullying and a lot of pontificating. The noise is deafening. These are the sounds of societal transformation, but they can be easily misinterpreted as societal collapse. We probably should have put a question mark at the end of the phrase.
I shouldn't be writing this while I'm drunk.
One last story. Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum is set to reopen on Monday, June 15th.
This is great news.
The Rock Hall has been dark since it was closed back on March 14th due to COVID-19 concerns, and will now be open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. with limited spaces available for specific time slots. The hall is hoping to operate safely at 50% capacity, by the way. The safety precautions is according to a statement. Safety precautions include daily continuous cleaning, hand sanitizing stations throughout the building, safe social distancing, temperature checks prior to entry, masks required of staff and fans, limited capacity with timed ticketing, plexiglass shields at checkout and credit card and mobile payment only. The Rock Hall is also providing early access available at 10 a.m. for teachers on Mondays, vulnerable fans on Tuesdays, Rock Hall members on Saturdays, and healthcare workers on Sundays.
Imagine if you've been in quarantine and you've just been biting at the bit to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's been your thing.
Well, I want to go. I want to go one day, and I've yet to make that trip. I definitely want to make it happen.
How robustly is Rush represented there?
Don't know. Yeah, I know nothing about.
I know they have a Rush roller coaster.
Well, they're members.
Yes.
They were inducted, so there's definitely something there about them. But you know, they have exhibits that change throughout time that come in and out. So they'll feature, you know, famous gear, or they'll do you know, groundbreaking musicians, and they'll change it up, or they'll focus on one band and have rare items that they bring out from the archives. I'd like to go there sometime and see.
You know, Rush was a Jeopardy answer the other night.
It was.
No.
Yeah, yes, it was.
Try me out. Do you remember it?
It's very easy.
No. Yeah, it was. They named the members, so it was the category was like rock threesomes. And okay. It was Alex Lyson, Geddy Lee, and Neil Peart.
Rush. This.
It was Rush.
Rush,
was
right.
Yes.
You got it. Casey. And you know who got it? It was the girl.
Did she get it?
Yeah, oddly. There were two guys
and
a girl.
Funny.
Yeah,
she's the female Rush fan. Yeah.
Were the Police and ZZ Top represented in others?
No. Earth, Wind,
Bananarama?
And Fire. Was in there? No.
Bananarama, it was actually, because that's Alex's favorite band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did you say, Nick?
Earth, Wind, and Fire was in there, and
Glenn, the Canadian band.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh, because of the three title,
yeah.
Three word title.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
No, I'm trying to forget.
Green Day.
You're trying to forget.
Trying to move past this.
The Green Day.
Yeah. I'm trying to regret that.
Trying to regret even bringing this up.
I'm working with my therapist. He's helping me to regret more things.
Yeah. How many Pointer Sisters were there?
Not one.
There were four.
Damn it.
Well, not in Jeopardy. I mean.
What band had the largest amount? Not besides a, you know, like a gospel choir. Was that
Polyphonic Spree?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like members over the years. Because every now and then we'll mention Nine Inch Nails, and it's Trent Reznor throughout.
Yeah.
But if you go to past members of Nine Inch Nails, there's like 50 people in there.
We used to have a DRE in New York. Trent Reznor was coming by, and you know, Nine Inch Nails. And she must have let in like 60 people claiming to be with the band, because no one knows.
Oh, my God.
No one knows. I'm in the band. Oh, yeah. Come on in.
What about somebody like Dave Matthews Band or Rusted Root?
Polyphonic Spree, right? Was the most?
Yeah.
As far as number of musicians in the band?
Played through?
You had like P-Funk, Graham Funk, you know, that was Parliament Funk had a lot of guys in that band, if I recall.
Yeah.
So that's a good question.
But the list of Nine Inch Nails band members has its own Wikipedia page. That's how many guys that there have been in that band over the years.
Wow. Okay. All right. That is what I have for our music news. We have one more break to take. We'll be wrapping it up when we get back, so stay close. You've been keeping track of the letters for the Word of the Week. Yes, Casey?
Do me a favor and play that bed just a little bit longer because I need to throw a promo in here.
Yeah, we can do that. Nick, take this opportunity to mention Big Climb on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, man. It's tomorrow. Big Climb Philly, and it's Big Climb Worldwide tomorrow morning. You don't have to do a damn thing. We're looking to virtually support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. There's Team Luke Beasley, and that's the team that we're a part of. But tomorrow is the day that it's actually happening. Today's the last day that you can register, and all the information's up on PrestonandSteve.com or on my Twitter account, Instagram account, wherever. Email me if you need it. But it's tomorrow morning, Big Climb Philly. We'd love to have you be a part of it. So sign up.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer.
Well, everybody needs a hero, but I'm not everybody else. I walk alone.
Bad Wolves.
But I'm getting sober, trying, but I can't get closer. Baby, did you let me go?
Incubus.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
That we were talking about bands that have the most members at any one time, yes. not members right. that have filtered through the band. And she brought me the list from ultimateguitar.com. And so I'll run these down. They're very interesting. Bands with a maximum 9 band members at the same time: Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Okay.
And the Aquabats.
Yeah, the Aquabats.
Okay. They were kind of a... they were like a kid's show for a while.
Weren't they? Yeah, I saw it.
I love that. I loved their outfits, too. Bands with a maximum 10 band members at the same time. Blood, Sweat, and Tears is the only band that had 10 members
at
one time. They were great. Bands with a maximum 11 band members at the same time. Never heard of Pink Martini before, but I have heard of the Doobie Brothers.
Yes.
Oh. So at one time, they were a very large band. They collected a few members along the way, but they had 11 members at one time. Bands with a maximum 12 band members at the same time. Frank Zappa's band.
And the Mothers of Invention.
Uh-huh. Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Okay.
And Sha-na-na.
Oh.
Had 12 members.
Wow, man.
At one time.
There was a time they used to have their own variety show.
I do. I watched it every week.
Bands they were at Woodstock, right? Weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
Bands with maximum 13 at the same time. Lighthouse. I'm not familiar with Lighthouse. Bands with a maximum 20 band members at the same time. I can't say the name of this band, but God, do I love it. They're called Eat a Bag of D's.
Really? Wow.
There were 20 people in that band. I have a little research to do this weekend.
Yeah. Eat a bag of D's.
Them and the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Okay. Yeah.
Have 20 band members, and that stands to reason. It's a big band. And then eclipsing them all, because it goes straight from 20 band members to 31 band members, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Trans-Siberian, okay.
Which, of course, it's an orchestra, so you need all those members. Anyway, a little bit of information. Interesting. Large bands. Thank you, Judd Apatow, for being on the show. He was great. It was 7 minutes. That's all we had with him, but you get a lot in 7 minutes from Judd Apatow. And he's got the movie called The King of Staten Island available now, and you can get it on all platforms from what I understand.
It's a good movie.
So it was nice to have him on today. Pierre Robert is here, and he's ready to usher you into the weekend. We started it. He'll continue it. Jackson will finish it. Well, actually, Jackie will finish it.
With the All Request Friday Night Show.
Which is a brilliant program.
Amazing.
That you've got to check out. Whatever you want to hear, the dude will play it. There are no rules.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rush, you had mentioned a week or so ago that I was in the 40th anniversary box set.
For Permanent Waves.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's true. And you'd ask someone to write in about it. And Robert and his son, Eric Liebfried, actually copied it. out of the liner notes of the album. Getty was pressed on the very topic of why he didn't write more lyrics when interviewed by Pierre Robert of radio station WMMR back in 2000.
Yep.
So there you're
actually
that?
Mentioned
Look
in
at
that.
You. And I didn't even know it. So it's thank so, you, Robert and son Eric Liebfried, for letting us know that.
That is so, and since I know you, that is the closest that I will ever come to being a part of something Rush, right there.
It's the connection, baby.
It's yeah, the man. Connection. It's all about the connection.
Well, speaking of Rush, I was goofing around on the Spacebook.
Shut up!
I found some rock mask.
Yay! Wow, you got it. You got it now.
Wow. I found rock.
It's a Rush.
A Rush mask.
What do you call that? The bow?
A buff?
A buff. Why can I never remember that?
Well, it's kind of like the ones you wear because your son Carter has made you these really cool masks.
Yeah.
That are...
awesome.
That
put
are
it cool. on. Let's see it.
But it. This is... I saw it on... You know, they've got now masks for every band you could possibly want, but this is 2112, I believe, from Rush. Yes.
How about that?
That is cool. I like it.
Oh, my God. You totally got a present for Steve's birthday.
I'm sorry, Steve.
No, no, no.
I didn't realize it was your birthday, and I don't know what your favorite band is.
Oh, it's...
What is your favorite band?
It is Polyphonic Spree. We were talking... No, no. God almighty, that's a tough... Well, the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Hang on a second. I want to look... I'm looking at the... I'm getting my phone, putting it on selfie mode. That's awesome, dude.
Well, there you go.
Thank you so much, Pierre.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
I didn't get you anything.
Well, it's not Christmas.
Okay.
It's not Christmas. It's Corona.
Well, this could be considered an anniversary present to me because this is my anniversary today. So.
Oh, happy anniversary!
Thanks, Ben.
So your anniversary, your wedding anniversary, is the same day as Steve's birthday.
Yes, not by coincidence.
Well, yeah. That's
I asked to be born on their anniversary.
I know that you did, and that's why you didn't. Steve, yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
No wonder you're on liner notes.
I am on liner notes.
All right. Well, thank you, Pierre. I owe you one.
That's really nice.
Awesome. No, nothing at all.
All right. You do owe us one more thing. That's the letter for the word of the week. You ready?
Got it.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
O, as in opportunity.
All right. And we got your opportunity and a prize, obviously. And we'll take a small number today. Call number 4 at 215-263-WMMR. You get a shot at giving us the word of the week for the prize. So call right now and let's see if you know that. It's going to be a spectacular day today. I'm sure it already feels wonderful out there as you came walking in. What do you have planned for this excellent day?
First of all, I get my hair out of the microphone.
That's pretty wild.
Tangled up in the microphone. Then secondly of all, we will get into Workforce Block of Weezer and also Iron Maiden. We're going to do them. And we also have a block. Today's the anniversary of what was, by all accounts, I wasn't here then, an amazing show at JFK Stadium in 1976 with Yes and Peter Frampton. It's still talked about to this day.
Wow.
By those artists and by fans who went, some 80,000 people. The attendance ability of that place, it was so big, that's why they had Live Aid there. You could fit close to 90,000 people in there.
Just an amazing amount of people.
It really is. And,
it was such a dump.
And it was an absolute dump. It may have had a glory day, but I never saw it.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had fiber. They didn't have seats. They had fiberglass benches. And on hot days, if you wore shorts, you'd have little particles of fiberglass in your
man.
Legs.
Yeah.
I sat in a lifeguard chair like that one time. I subbed at a pool.
Yeah, that's how you would remember where your seat was, because it would be brandished into the back of your back. You know,
exactly.
When you would sit down there. Was
there back support on the benches?
I don't think so. It was just benches. Yeah.
No, I mean, but they could cram in 90 to 100,000 people there, so that's why it existed for as long as it did.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's
no
way
to see
it fell
show.
Down, they tore it down. I mean, I hate tearing down historic buildings, but it really was a dump.
Yeah.
So
we won't miss the building, but there were concerts there that were legendary.
No. I mean, Live Aid being the biggest of them all. But, I miss the Spectrum a lot, actually. But JFK Stadium, God bless you and Godspeed.
All right, let's see if we can get a word of the week winner. I'm going to go to the caller number 4. That's it. Yep, and it's George. Hey there, George.
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 Is your name George? Everything appears to be on here.
There's a silence. George.
All right, George. I'm sorry, bud.
George?
George. We don't have you. I'm going to next go to Donna and see if she's got it. Donna, you there?
Yes. Hi.
All right, so Donna we can hear. Donna, please give me the... Should I go to Donna? Hang on a second.
Oh, is George back?
Well, hold on.
You have to be fair to George. Yeah, We've grown fond of him
in the past 11 seconds.
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Marissa's... You okay. So there
this
was...
sounds like my program.
George, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So
he was already on hold.
He was told he was caller number four. And if he was there... I said for caller number four, and I have to make sure that we try it in every way to get him on. So I'm sorry, Donna.
That shows great integrity on your part, though, Preston.
But George might get it wrong. Let's find out. George, what is the word of the week?
Nacho.
Spell it.
Coo-coo-ca-choo. Oh.
Well, I want to know if he's using a certain letter at the beginning or not. What is it?
N-A-C-H-O.
Nacho.
Nacho. All right, yeah. I thought he said macho. All right.
I think he said N.
Well, he did now because he's not going to. You know what? I did say macho. George, congratulations.
That worked effortlessly.
We are.
Come on. Friday, bro.
We're going to give you a $250 MindyGeek gift card for the location in the Mayfair section, Northeast Philly. Congratulations, my man. Yeah, exactly. What you said. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right, man.
One for the ages.
Big George.
They are offering 25% off to any customer who's had their catalytic converter stolen or cut off their vehicle. They helped out a local favorite, Nick's Roast Beef, during this pandemic, and they want to make sure that they offer the same to all Philadelphians. Meineke and Mayfair want you to know that they are here for you during this rough time and will help in any way that they can. That's Meineke at 6140 of Frankford Avenue. So, we thank them for the prize. That is it. We got to do our thank yous from our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Duncan. Let's see. Duncan, of course, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, so thank you. And also HERS, official chip of making the most of your summer. And also brought to you by Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram City. They are ready to kick off summer with big discounts, so shop now. Next week on the program, we'll have plenty of things, one of them being guest Josh Holloway. Josh was Sawyer on Lost.
That's right.
Haven't talked to him in years and years and years, and always love that guy. So he'll be joining, I'm sure, some other guests that we'll get to you next week. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Why exactly would you be driving with your flashers on the Schuylkill at 1:30 in the morning? Are you trying to attract a cop?
Next message.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I hope Claire bakes you a ton of chocolate chip cookies.
Next message.
I'm constantly calling this line when either driving to or from work. And I worry, is that a reflection on me? Or is it just there's too many driving?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.